If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to please direct your attention to center court for the presentation of the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Please welcome ABC's Stuart Scott.
Thank you, Eddie, very much. Congratulations to a franchise that will raise a 17th banner in the rafters here at the new Boston Garden. Now, here to present the Larry O'Brien Trophy to the Boston Celtics, NBA Commissioner David Stern.
The Lakers were worthy Western Conference champions, but there can only be one, and the 2008 NBA champion, for the 17th time, a record, your Boston Celtics.
And now,
Lakers! Lakers! Lakers!
Our feature presentation.
It's hard to say F you to a team that earned it,
nope.
Though.
Yeah. Pretty easy to say it.
Really? To explain that to you.
Well, I mean, F
I can understand being disappointed, of course, but they certainly earned it.
Yeah, but since I'm a Laker fan, I don't want to play a lot of Boston Celtic receiving the
trophy. You can respect them, even as a Lakers fan.
They played better than the Lakers. Lakers played poorly. I'm mad at the Lakers is who I'm mad at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you learn in high school that if somebody's driving to the basket, somebody's got to step in front of them. Right. I mean, they just quit playing.
It was the first time they ever played together last night. That's what it looked like.
They just stopped.
I mean, am I right about that? I mean, it looked like they had never been on a court together before.
Fell apart. I was
How do you
angry.
Have your worst game of the entire season last night? How does that happen?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to talk to former sports guy Money now with the Laker radio broadcast team in a couple of minutes here. He's checking out of the hotel. He's going to have a very long flight back on the Laker plane. That is not going to be a pleasant place to be.
Man, oh man, that was rough. And I literally couldn't watch that ceremony that you just played. Just turned it off.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
yeah.
my computer coming on. Excellent. Just turned it off. I couldn't. I was so just mad. I was mad at Gasol. I was mad at Lamar. Yeah. I was mad at anybody that wasn't playing defense on the whole team.
Lisa, refresh my memory because I was a little confused. The night that you had sex with your boyfriend, the Celtics lost or won?
They won.
They won. So did you guys have sex yesterday?
No.
Ah, so
that wasn't
you.
It. Interesting.
Yeah, see, okay. I deliberately tried to break that pattern to see if it had any
And
impact.
He's like, come on, it doesn't really make a difference.
As he's wearing his lucky hat.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And
which
nothing else.
Very lucky
liar.
For him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's brutal.
Well,
brutal. And you know, and every minute of the second half, you go, I'm so angry, I just want to turn this off. But...
Yeah, I know.
What if they actually started playing defense and then things turned around?
Yeah, it could
They've
happen.
They've gone on amazing runs before in this series.
Yeah.
Yes, the way this series has gone, even when they were down 30, and 30's kind of a number at which you can't come back no matter where you are in the game, okay? Let's face it, at 30,
That's
it's
not
over.
True.
It is true. Who's ever come back from 30? I mean, maybe it's happened, but the way this series has been going, I thought there was a chance. I thought, okay, now they're at 30. They've got to be pissed. They're really going to turn it on
right.
now. Wow, can you imagine what a comeback it's going to be if they come back from 30? This is going to be the greatest thing ever, and then it just continued to get worse and worse and
the
worse.
First thing you have
40,
to do if,
42 at one point.
The first thing you have to do if you're going to come back is stop the other team, I don't know, a couple times so that you can score. You can't just trade baskets when you're 30 down. You got to stop somebody.
Yeah, you got to do more than that.
I don't know, play defense. How about defense?
The only good thing I will say is that usually when guys win championships and then they do the post-game interview, they're like, yeah, I'm very happy. I'm happy for my team. Happy for teammates. Kevin Garnett hasn't sold out. He's like, I want to say thanks to Pooh Bear and T-Bone back in the hood. My mama,
I have that tape for later if we have time. Because
like,
that's
what I'm talking about.
It was one of the funniest post-game interviews you've ever seen. And my favorite part of it is he's been interviewed on the court. He's so emotional, by the way, because he's one of those guys who feared he might one day retire without a ring. But he's so emotional, and it's so funny. And at one point, for some reason, he just wakes up and realizes what's going on. He says, hey, Michelle, you look fine.
Really?
I thought he was gonna jump her. He was so happy.
He needed some plans for after the game.
I guess so.
He's keeping it real. Like, that was real.
Oh, he really is. Yeah. Shout out to Soda.
Yeah, yeah. and Pooh Bear and Tookie. You know this. Top of the world, Tookie. Top of the world, dog.
Top of the world.
Now, do we know who any of those people are? They're just his...
I don't want to know who they are.
Just his friends.
Well, his mom. I guess we recognized his mom. And then Minnesota, I guess, is one of the shout-outs to his forward team. Oh, we got money?
Yeah, we got money.
Okay.
Good times, Matt.
Hey, who is that idiot that was on your show like 2 days ago and said that like no team was really dominant, the Lakers had a great shot? That guy was stupid.
I think that guy was Matt Money Smith.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Money,
what happened, dude?
Well, I think to quote a famous drop from the old Kevin and Bean show there, so that happened.
Yeah. So that happened, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill Plachke sums it up in his headline this morning in the Times. MVP, more like MIA. Kobe was shut down like I've never seen him before last night. What was the problem there?
Yeah, I think that was kind of, you know, outside of game three, that was kind of the whole series. You know, I mean, they were determined to force the Lakers to beat them. And unfortunately, they just could not rise to the occasion. I mean, by the Lakers, the entire team, you know, it was very similar last night, kind of what I said after the game, when people were trying to get their head around what happened to Kobe, was, you know, is very reminiscent of the late 80s, you know, Jordan rules that the Detroit Pistons employed, where they would throw two, three, four guys, would not allow him to get into the paint, and said, hey, you know, if those dudes that play with him can beat us, then you know what? We're happy to go down. But this guy is not going to do it. And that's what they did it with Kobe. And, you know, for a couple halves and a couple quarters and, you know, one or two games, it worked out. And Powell and Lamar and Sasha, and of course, in game four stepped up, game three stepped up. But it just, you know, could not sustain over a seven-game series.
He made just seven shots of 22 last night. That's all he had.
Yeah, yeah, he started four or five, and then remainder of the, but you know, whatever, do the math, four or five, and I think 3 of 15 the rest of the way.
But the problem really is if he passes it to somebody else, they have to, I don't know, make a shot.
Yeah.
And then if they do, then he's more open. I mean, they feed on each other. If somebody else can score, then they have to worry about somebody else, but they didn't have to.
Last night was weird, you know, when you just kind of, when you watch, you know, sitting there courtside and watching the way it was going down. I mean, I think the best word, and I mean, not to try to sound all street, yo, but was, you know, they got punked. Yeah. I mean, they really did. They just got, you know, they got busted up in that game. They had no offensive rebounds in the first three quarters of the game. I think they had 4 points in the paint, you know, the first two and a half quarters. I mean, it really was just a beating.
How does a team get this far into the playoffs? They've had an entire season, then they've had three different series before this, right?
Yep.
How do they get to this point and then just get dismantled and don't even, it looked like to me, in the second half at least, don't even try to play defense. They just quit. How does that happen?
I think what happens is, you know, and this is where, you know, maybe unlike some other people, I'll give credit to the Celtics, you know, it was that defense. I mean, that defense frustrated the Lakers.
Right, but why won't the Lakers play defense, though? You can play defense.
Yeah, I think what happens
on an off night.
What happens is, you know, when the Lakers are shooting 29% and 25%, you know, missing three out of every four shots, that's leading to rebounds for the Celtics and transition baskets for the Celtics, and the Lakers' defense not being back because they're missing so many shots. And I think, you know, what happened is next thing you know, those things start to snowball on you. And you just, they just get away, you know, and I think that's what happens. They just kind of, they sneak away from you. And
that didn't sneak away from them. That really was a poke in the eye.
Well, I mean, shot to the throat, but that's what happened in the second quarter, you know. I mean, I think that's essentially what happened was the second quarter just got away. And they tried to reel it in the first 5 minutes of the third, and unfortunately, free throws and missed shots again, it just got worse, you know. And you looked up at the scoreboard, and you're like, damn, they're down 29 points.
Yeah, that's a lot, it turns out.
This is former sports guy Money from the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, now with the Lakers radio broadcast team on AM 570. Starting today, or maybe starting tomorrow, I guess. Today, people will be wanting to hear what you say about the game. But starting tomorrow, you have no listeners. You and P are just talking to each other, right? I mean, that's pretty. But that's the deal on your show, right, buddy?
I'll tell you, man, we have talked about nothing but basketball. And, you know, we like to play grab ass and screw around. I mean, we have been so Laker heavy for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Because everyone assumed that this was probably the team that was the odds-on favorite to win it all. And, of course, was very excited about that. So, yeah, it's going to be weird. I don't know. There's this game, I guess, that's called the Great American Pastime, and it's this hard little ball. And
no.
They hit it with a stick and run around these bases. I don't know. I got to figure out what the hell that is.
You got to look into that.
Don't fall for that hype.
This is a good year to be a Cubs fan. You're fine there, Money. Hey, let me ask you this. because you were there last night, who'd you talk to, and what did they have to say for themselves after that game?
I talked to everyone. I was with the guys last night, and I think the appropriate range of emotions would be from bummed, like to the point where after kind of everyone said, "All right, good night," and we had our late dinner and stuff, and we're bummed and really down about it, to just legitimately pissed off, you know, that this is how it ended, and this great magical run that really was a fantastic season was ended on such a sour note, and at least for the near future, it's going to be pretty hard to enjoy all the great things and good things that happened this year for Laker basketball because of the way it ended.
Yeah, it was a great season. They were one of the two final teams, but when you get run off the court like that, it's pretty hard to remember all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's, you know, I don't want to say there's a positive, because there's just really there's no positive, but the idea that, you know, the one thing that was a knock on the Lakers was their physicality and their strength and their ability to play physical basketball. And that was the one knock on them. Can a team that is more finesse and offense oriented beat up a team or run with a team in the finals that clearly, you know, likes to push people around, play defense and get physical? And the answer was no. So at the very least, that last game just accentuated the point that is what they have to do this summer, is get stronger and get tougher.
The Lakers had a great date, got her in the sack, had sex with her, then had to pull out.
Yeah, that's appropriate. You know what? I'm gonna bring that up on the plane.
So yes, do. That's excellent. Money, one other thing. Are we positive that Radmanovich is still on the Laker payroll?
Not sure.
Okay,
did
good.
Did not see him.
Maybe he's
time.
The mole. Have you guys thought about that?
Yes.
That's what I'm worried about. Celebrity mole.
Let's just see who writes him a check. Maybe it's the Celtics. Not sure.
Vladdy has had a very tough go.
You think?
Since joining the Lakers. Yeah, he had a nice little stretch there in the middle of the season. And then, So that.
I wanted to punch him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was tough. Well, listen, we know you have a very long plane ride ahead of you, Money, but we can't thank you enough for squeezing in all the calls that you've been able to do throughout the playoffs in the Lakers. And we appreciate, and our listeners really appreciate your analysis. I mean, you have really done a terrific job of keeping us posted on everything. And, you know, like they say in sports, and you hate to hear it the day after a loss like that, there's always next year, right?
Yeah, there's always next year, and someone always has to lose. And, guys, I can't thank you enough for putting me on. I always enjoy it, miss you, and, you know, I'll come hang out or something if you want me to come in, and we'll talk about baseball and cricket and high lie. It'll be great.
Cricket and high lie, I'm in on.
All right, Matt, talk to you later, dude.
Hey, Matt, right, Matt, on the plane home, just out of the blue, just go, how about them Celtics?
I will scream that.
Talk to you later, man. Talk to you later.
Right.
Bye. Painful.
Yeah,
it's got to be tough for him too. I mean, of course. Obviously he loves the Lakers, but just hanging out, being part of that family, he's got to feel a little bit of it too.
I wonder when he said, "Yeah, I talked to everyone." I just think, I don't think I would do that. I think I would just.
Well, he's kind of friends with them now.
I know. Yeah. It's just that's got to be rough.
Hey, so what else is going on?
You can talk to him.
What else? Any plans for the summer now that you don't have a parade to worry about?
What else you people gonna do? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay. Yes.
We have LaQuisha on the program today.
Oh.
See. Shot at Love 2 at Tila Tequila. Yeah. Very excited about that.
Yes.
Hey, give me the date because I got a good one today.
Sorry, this is Wednesday the 18th of Poon.
I want it to be handed to me. Then I can touch it whenever I want to.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate that. Doc Rivers from Boston last night.
That's great. Adam Yauch, one of the Beastie Boys, in the studio today. He's got a new movie called Gunnin' for that number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of basketball.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to sit by him on Sunday at the game, and he's a Celtic fan.
Oh,
he'll be happy
wow.
today.
So let's just
he'll be
sure.
rubbing it in.
We'll have to beat him up. Wee Man will be here. Two reasons. One, he's on Celebrity Circus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And two, we're going to do Ask a Midget.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's what I'm excited about. So that's coming up today. Bob Dylan has finally come out, and he's supporting Barack Obama.
Wow, he doesn't usually get involved in the politics. That's quite an endorsement.
Talked to him in about a half hour. Okay. Psycho Mike went down to the, where did you go? Did you go to the courthouse? Or?
I went all over the place, but went to the Beverly Hills Courthouse. I went all over West Hollywood, a couple hotels that were having big, huge, lavish weddings.
And you talked to the gays?
I did.
Mike and the gays.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Was our friend there? Was he there?
No, he wasn't. But now that he makes that point, the whole thing was a farce.
Right, right. Wow. Nobody thought of that, right?
Oh, my God.
Come on. Why are people lame? And all week, don't forget, we have your way to see Jack Johnson. We are going to give you tickets, and every day at 8, noon, 4, and 8, you can win the tickets and a custom autographed Jack Johnson surfboard and VIP invites to spend some time with Jack at a barbecue.
Nice.
So that's coming up this morning. We got Ralph Showbiz Beat. Heard that song 200,000 times.
Like.
No idea what that's about. It's named Dashboard, so maybe it's about a dashboard. I don't know.
I think it's about the Cosby Show.
Could be.
Could be. It's 5:53 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a very sad Wednesday morning here in Los Angeles.
I want to extend my deepest sympathies to all the Lakers fans out there.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, all right.
As a diehard sports fan myself, you know, I can...
You know what it's like.
I know what it's like to feel that,
You saw the Eagles lose the Super Bowl.
Feeling in your gut when it's all over, and you have a long off season till you get back on the horse again. So,
yeah.
My deepest sympathies to all you Laker fans. But if it makes you feel any better, Jen was finally voted off Hell's Kitchen last night. So we got that going for us. That's an upside.
You didn't watch Hell's Kitchen instead of the game.
Not instead of the game, but...
In addition to.
Right after.
Ralph likes this Hell's Kitchen show where the dude yells.
I used to watch that. I liked it, actually.
Clean off your plate!
I want to be Gordon Ramsay's best friend.
What is wrong with you? You're horrible!
It's awesome.
Are you kidding me?
So I'm saying there's an upside. Last night, a bad thing happened, but a good thing happened.
Jen got kicked off.
Exactly.
Was she
she was horrible.
Yeah.
Everyone hated her.
That certainly makes up for the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying. It's a wash, pretty much. Trying to, you know, put a silver lining in that dark cloud.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to gay celebrities everywhere as they lined up yesterday to get their marriage license. And, of course, first in line was none other than Mr. Sulu himself, George Takei. Finally got a marriage license with his longtime partner, Brad Altman. George is 71. Brad is 54. They've been together for 21 years.
They should get married.
Yeah, and then they're just going to just
this
split
is
up.
It's going to ruin it.
Yep, they're just going to have a major blowout and have to get a divorce and didn't have the phaser money.
It often happens.
Speaking of the phaser money, there's no end to the Star Trek jokes that are going on surrounding this dude forever. And I think I would hate it if I were him and I were on a show 40 years ago. But he buys into it. Did you see his statement, Ralph, after he picked up his license?
No. Does it involve going where no
so
gay man is?
So congratulations to all of us. And may equality live long and prosper.
Yes.
Come on.
Was his sister there?
You know, he just embraces it. You really only have two choices. You can either hate it but have it around you your whole life or just embrace it.
Well, it's not like he's turning down huge offers for another career other than being Mr. Sulu. And he did do 97 motion pictures after the series was over. You know, the guy made a living off of it.
Sure.
Well, not
you mean
many,
Star Trek movies.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
So. Yeah.
But I would be pushing Heroes right now is what I'd be doing.
He's dead on Heroes.
Yeah.
It's over.
You never know.
That's true. Everyone comes back on
this. Never know.
But George told People magazine immediately after obtaining their marriage license, he said, "I started singing One Singular Sensation."
What is that?
It's a song from a chorus line. Big gay musical. I have no idea why he started singing that, but he did.
You're an abomination!
No, he's not. The license is good for 90 days, and the pair say they'll be tying the knot September the 14th.
Knot.
At the Japanese American National Museum.
Hey!
Or Janum, as I like to call it. With all their Star Trek pals will be there. As we've talked about before, Walter Koenig, Mr. Chekhov will be his best man. And Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura, will be matron of honor. So,
is he one of the guys that didn't get along with Shatner? Is he not
hates Shatner. Yes. Hates him. Yeah. Hates him.
Him and Scotty, those were the two that had the most trouble with Bill.
You would never kiss me.
You make money promoting sins.
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
Well, yes, we do. He's got a point. We do that. Yeah. More relationship news in show business. Some breakups. Rice Iffens has been dumped by Sienna Miller.
Oh. If Rice Iffins can't make it.
You know who I'm talking about. He was the guy who played the goofy roommate of Hugh Grant in Notting Hill.
Oh, that tall, skinny, ugly guy?
Skinny, gangly guy with a spotty beard and long, greasy hair and bad teeth. Very funny. Not for Sienna Miller, though, right?
Not anymore.
That's just an aberration, those two together.
That was weird.
Apparently, she saw him.
Yeah.
What? And then broke up with
him. Do it.
That's who you are?
Word is, last Saturday night, he was seen going from bar to bar in the Notting Hill section of London, coincidentally enough, just drinking his sorrows away.
Aww.
I guess he would hang out there because he'd have a good chance of being recognized by hot European tourists.
That's right. Hey, aren't you that guy from... Yes, I am. Do me. More breakup news. Anne Hathaway has dumped her loser boyfriend. The London Daily Mail claims she ended her four-year relationship with much-indicted Italian-American businessman Raffaello Folieri.
Much-indicted?
What did he do? I know he's in legal trouble, but for what, Ralph?
He's a businessman who had set up this charitable foundation, the Folieri Foundation, and apparently it was just rife with fraud and scandal, and there's all sorts of indictments involving him stealing money from the organization and stuff.
So that's ugly.
She walked just before her big weekend when Get Smart opens this weekend. I guess she recognized that maybe things were...
F*** that guy. What would he need him for?
That's right. Exactly. That's what she said. Kate Beckinsale might have a great new job for you.
Yeah?
She is doing a new movie called Whiteout. And she has insisted that the producers hire a butt double for her nude scenes. She thinks her butt is too big to show on film.
What?
She weighs
just
about...
Look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
She weighs about 7 pounds. Yeah. I don't know who she's going to find with a smaller butt than her. Maybe a baby. Maybe just hire a baby. Show the baby's butt.
What's the action series that she does?
Underworld?
Underworld, yeah.
Look at her body in that movie and tell me that that's not a fantastic butt.
Yeah, she's bulletproof. I don't know what her problem is, but she doesn't want to show her butt, so they're hiring a butt double.
That's weird.
It pays $2,000 a day, by the way. So if you've got a good rear end, you might want to put yourself into the running.
A lot of good rear ends in Hollywood.
Send your, I guess it wouldn't be your head shot, ass shot, to producers and see if they'll pick up your deal.
Butt hash.
Butt hash indeed.
You look at any pictures of her in bikinis or whatever, she looks fine.
Looks fantastic. Yeah. Joan Rivers. Thank you all to listeners who sent me the Joan Rivers story yesterday. Appreciate it. Got thrown off a live British television show yesterday.
Awesome.
Good start.
For dropping the F-bomb.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Aren't you amazing? I mean, how stupid can somebody say that? Son of a bitch.
I hate her so much.
Such a potty mouth.
She was plugging her play that she's doing in the West End of London, Joan Rivers, A Work in Progress by A Life in Progress. It's her one-woman show.
Mm-hmm. What is the name of it?
Joan Rivers, A Work in Progress by A Life in Progress.
Well, that's a stupid name.
Yeah. And you're 70.
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
And Joan, you're 75, by the way. Your life is no longer in progress.
It's winding up.
You just called A Work in Progress by A Life Circling the Drain. Apparently, she was being interviewed on the show and was talking about the guest that she had talked to in the red carpet.
Right.
And she said that Russell Crowe was an effing S.
Oh, my God.
And when they went into commercials, the host said, yeah, could you please leave my show now? Because you can't use that language on live television here in England.
How about that?
Why would she
think wizened old whore bag.
Yeah, no kidding. She's been on television long enough to know what you can and can't say.
Later, when interviewed by the press about the incident, she said, and I'm not kidding, yes, I swore, and I'm so effing sorry.
See? She did it again.
See what she did?
Oh, she's good.
It's funny. Offstage, I hardly ever use profanity, she said.
Hmm.
Well, she did on live television, and she was asked to leave.
F you effing bitch.
So, good news. And Amy Winehouse is still in the hospital after a fainting spell
that
occurred on Monday. It's so funny now these days they're calling blackouts fainting spells.
Yeah.
Back in my day, they were just blackouts.
They are still.
Sources at the medical center tell the British tabloid The London Sun that she's still under observation and will be for at least a few more days.
Because they don't know what caused it?
We need to observe that we haven't already observed with Amy Winehouse, by the way.
Yeah.
A representative for Amy says she seems to be fine. No, she's never been fine. Not fine now, not fine before, won't be fine after.
She hasn't been fine in 5 years, has she?
She has a sprained ankle as a result of the fainting spell, they claim. But she said the staff is taking their time to make sure she's good before she leaves. Well, they better just lock her down forever because she's never going to be good.
Yeah.
How is she getting drugs if she's being locked up right now?
She's in a hospital. You know, best drugs in the world right there. At night, she's like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, lowering herself from the ceiling into the locked-up pharmacy room, just helping herself to all the Vicodin she can find. Celebrity birthdays today, Isabella Rossellini.
Ooh, yeah.
Beautiful and talented Italian actress is now 56 years old today. Movie critic, Bean's favorite, Roger Ebert.
He fixed me, your full part.
Oh, yeah, my bad. He doesn't talk that way. You're right. Oh, man, shame on me. I guess he doesn't talk that way. You're right. What am I doing making that up?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
He had his jaw removed or something with the mouth cancer. I mean, it's in really bad shape.
You should have thought of that before he had his jaw removed.
I've never heard of that, by the way. Is there anything there if you have your jaw removed?
It looks pretty rough.
He looks like a Pez dispenser.
Oh! It kind of does.
He has candy in his throat?
Kind of. He has one of those little computers that he types and it speaks. It's really kind of sad.
Really? Wow, one of those typing computers?
You know what I mean. Like Stephen Hawking has it. You type it and then the vocal comes out.
Yeah, voice synthesizer.
Because he can't talk. That's the word. Right, that's even a better way to describe it.
He's got one of them typing computers.
He types into one of them computers.
It's one of them weird things. He's got a keyboard and a screen. But he's futuristic still, machines.
Mentally, he's still fine. He can't talk. But, I mean, he still writes for the Chicago Sun-Times and everything. He still is very lucid, but he can't speak on television anymore.
I'd like to hear him do it on television through his computer that he types on.
Two thumbs up.
This week, Get Smart opens. Steve Carell.
His computer has a British accent, too. It's weird.
That is strange.
Odd.
And not a joke.
What?
Not a joke. His computer has a British accent. Because you pick whichever voice you want to come out of your computer that you type, and he liked the British guy. So it's just so weird to see him talk, and then the British guy comes out.
I think I would pick, Chinese or something, just to be funny.
Indian guy.
Does he have endless voices that he can choose?
I think there's a few that are
depending on
default.
His mood.
Yeah.
I'd choose Kevin Garnett if I had that option.
What if that little Teton? Major Barrett. Sparky, that wonder dog.
And happy birthday to legendary musician Paul McCartney, who apparently can no longer write music.
That's correct.
But back in the day, he was quite a force to be reckoned with the Beatles and the Wings in his solo career. He is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Come on, dude. How are you going to come at a Beatle like that?
Screw him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, we're only a few months away from the presidential election. You know, the celebrities, they all have to step forward and say who they're voting for so that we know who we're voting for. For instance,
I can't remember who the last celebrity was that came out, so now I don't know who to vote for.
Exactly. I mean, it's a mess, right? Like Heidi Montag, she says John McCain. You go, okay, I'll vote for John McCain.
Okay.
But then Tom Hanks comes out and he says Barack Obama. And then you go, well, now what do I do? Because now I got a tie. So
whoever is the latest.
The latest celebrity is Bob Dylan, and we've got him on the phone right now. It's the first time he's ever endorsed a presidential candidate, and Mr. Dylan joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob.
Hey, KZ, and let me see.
How are you?
And to you as well.
Hey.
Bob, am I right about that? This is the first time you've ever officially endorsed a presidential candidate in your long, long history?
Yeah, a little upset that about politics, all trying to keep the devil side on the one side and the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
You got to know.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bob, your fans want to know, America wants to know, who are you supporting in 2008?
Well, you know, right now, America is in a state of heal. Molly is demoralizing. And it's been around adventure penny when we hit the bar. But we got this guy there now who's redefining the need of politics from the ground up. Yeah.
I heard here are the four words I heard. I heard America, upheaval, panties, and poor.
No, not panties.
Okay. Did I hear that correctly then?
Anyway, Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how come? Why Barack?
Well, you know, he's got to redefine the need of politics. You have to see how it's going to play out. But I'm humble. Yeah, it's going to change. Things are going to have to.
Are there any reasons you're supporting Mr. Obama?
Well, you didn't understand what you said.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. We didn't understand. Say it again. Slower. All right. Don't.
America. In the state of upheaval.
State of upheaval.
In a state of upheaval.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poverty is demoralizing.
Poverty is demoralizing.
Okay.
You can't expect people to have the virtue of purity when they're poor.
You can't expect Bean to go through puberty.
When he's poor.
When he's poor. Okay.
That's what I heard.
Oh, God damn it. So anyway, this week on the Funky Town Marine Hour, happy duty, howdy, how are you, Lemon Time Showbiz Hour.
No, it's the Theme Time Radio Hour. It's your satellite show you've been doing for years now. You still don't know the name of it.
You pick a theme, then you play music and tell stories.
This week's theme is Barack Obama.
This week's theme is the theme of the show this week.
Yeah, this week turns over Barack Obama and playing music for Barack Obama.
How many songs mention him?
Lots of them.
All right.
Here's the first one.
Just because it has black in it? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, that's not about Barack Obama. It's just a song that mentions the color black.
Barack Obama. Here's another one.
Black celebration.
Yeah.
Black celebration. I don't know that.
I don't think that's about him.
Yeah. No. Celebrate black.
But I'm pretty sure that's not about Barack Obama.
No.
Didn't understand.
Here's another song for Barack Obama.
All right.
Black hole
sun.
Come on.
Black hole sun.
I know we have trouble understanding Bob sometimes, but I swear to God, he's calling him Black Obama.
I think so,
that's what it sounds like.
Didn't understand his first name.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Barack Obama.
And I told about equality. Uh-huh. And it's you either you're wrong or you're right.
Wow. This is Michael.
Bring it back.
Michael Jackson, yeah.
No matter, because he's black and white.
He's black and white.
Yeah. Black or white, I think, is the song, though.
Oh,
but,
that's black nice and white. Mm.
That's back when Michael Jackson was good, by the way. It's good to hear that.
And the friend of Barack Obama. Welcome to the new dark
age. Come on.
Come on,
Bob.
Barack doesn't want it to be the dark ages. That's not a good thing.
And it's
you might be missing the thought of that song.
Dark Angels.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. Well, I'm sure he's going to be delighted to have your endorsement now.
Hey, Black Obama.
What?
Hey, Black Obama.
Something Black Obama.
Vote for Barack Obama.
Vote for Barack.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
That's not the dreaded double clap of gayness, though.
No.
I don't know why. It's just different.
Well, because they predate that, I think. That song's 25 years old, I think. I think it was the new generation, the Fall Out Boy kids and their ilk that brought back the double clap of gayness. I think that's what happened.
And they added the gayness to it.
Yeah, I think the Violent Femmes, they're grandfathered in. So their double clap is not gay. It's actually just cool.
Got it.
I'm glad we settled that.
LaQuisha, Wee Man, Adam Yauch, the Beastie Boys. Coming up. Right now it's time for the AFRO line, 323-520, AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. F you Laker haters.
Now for my impression of Kobe Bryant at Wiener Schnitzel.
Hey, yo, man, Kobe, how's that hot dog? I can't talk. I'm choking.
Aww.
Didn't take him long to pick up the phone call, did it?
How dare you? Who's choked less than Kobe Bryant?
It was not the best performance of his life last night.
He was way better than everybody else, though.
Yeah, well, that's sad but true.
I already paid Dave his stupid 20 credits, and he wouldn't take it. He said, no, I'm not going to take it till we get on the air.
Dave, how do you have a horse in this race? You're not even a Laker fan.
I can tell you how. He's a Laker hater.
Yes.
So he just likes to bet against the Lakers. And then he acts like he's all happy because his team won, when in reality his team hasn't played in 2 months.
You know what's the difference between the Clippers and Lakers now? Where they pick in the draft.
Burn!
Really?
But as a Los Angeles sports fan, Dave, how can you be excited about a Celtics championship?
He hates the Lakers.
Hate the Lakers.
That's the only reason he started liking the Clippers,
go
by the
Clippers!
Way.
Woo! Clip show 09!
Oh, God.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Nope. Get out now.
Did you turn his mic off?
Yes, I did. Get out.
Why don't you just pay him so he'll go away?
Get
just give him the money and he'll go away.
I just threw it at his head. I missed. Okay. Get out.
Bye, Dave.
Help him out. Honestly, help him out. Come on, Mike. You're a Laker fan. Help him out.
Security.
He's singing a song about the Clippers being number one, by the way.
Dude, the Clippers have been off since April. I mean, come on.
Really? Yeah, that's really.
Whatever, I'm leaving.
All right, good. We're not going to be able to throw him out. He's leaving.
Stupid Mike and your stupid shoes. Stupid.
Why did you talk to Sasha?
Ha ha, Lakers lost. Ha ha. Dude, guys, you got to help me. I just ran out of toilet paper. Can you tell me where I can get one of those Pow to the People shirts? Ha.
How dare you all?
Now they're piling it on.
A few people.
All right, I got a new subject. You guys need to call. Ask an albino. Find out if they poop white.
They poop white.
I don't know why you would suspect they would, but okay.
It's worth asking. Bean had a theory the other day that 1 people in 4 in America have been on television.
Yes.
And we took some calls to see if we could prove it one way or the other.
Yo! You guys talked about being on TV. I totally agree with that. I've been on TV many times, but you know one thing I've never been on is the radio. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the day my dreams come true!
Is he mocking us?
Yes, very much
so. I believe
so,
yes.
Dave the King of Mexico is trying to bring back Not, and I am fearful that it's working, unfortunately.
Instead of bringing back... let's bring back... Ooh, murder,
corroded,
your panties exploded!
Ooh, facial. Okay, it's a little
longer. Yeah.
A little harder to work in, but...
chance of that.
Sure. Not.
Oh, dear. God, no.
Do you think I could probably get a room at the Marriott, and then I go to the festival from there, right? The Marriott? How far is the festival from the Marriott?
Thank you, David.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Yes, in the afternoon. Just show up. It'll be going.
Hey, this is George Takei. How great is same-sex marriage? Yeah, it's the honeymoon. Oh, Steve.
That's not a very good impression
I've ever heard.
That was a terrible impression.
Oh. Thank you, Lika. Thank you, Lika.
That's his sister who's now working with us on a full-time basis, which is nice.
Oh, yes, this message is for Mr. Kevin Ryder. This is Bill Douglas over at the Norwalk Courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage license, it's ready to go. You and your significant other can be here tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, about 10 a.m. You'll be number 13th in the marriage line, and we'll hook you two up, so come on by, Mr. Kevin Ryder.
Hey,
congratulations.
I need to leave by about 9 today. Is that all right?
Yeah, it sounds like you got a big day planned.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that the new R. Kelly album comes out next month. I smell number one. You think I did there? Number one?
Come on.
R. Kelly, you know, he went number one. Whatever.
Very impressive.
Well done.
By the way, Andre Kowalski from Norwalk, latest winner of Jack Johnson tickets. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 o'clock for 2 upcoming Southern California shows. And don't forget, 4 times a day, you also get the barbecue and the autographed surfboard for Jack Johnson.
Lakers!
All right.
Lakers!
All right.
Oh, how are you going to come at us like that? So, Kevin, in disgust last night, you turned off your TV at the end of the game when they lost by 39. Yeah. So you didn't see any of the fun at the Boston Garden.
Well, it turns out it wouldn't have been fun. That's not fun for me. You get as well in watching that game halfway through the second quarter, you were starting to get disgusted, and then you got more sick to your stomach through the third quarter. And then by the fourth quarter, you're like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, that fourth quarter seemed like it went on for about 2 hours because it was really just, it was a death march is all it was. I mean, nothing was going to happen except the clock was eventually going to run out and the Lakers were going to eventually lose by dozens of points.
But
that's all you had to look forward to.
The difference is that the Boston Celtics never stopped scoring, so at least that happened. So at least the Lakers weren't playing defense and they beat us by 700 points.
They pulled out all the starters and still continued to run up the score, which I thought was nice. There were a couple things. First of all, you're too raw to feel this way, I'm sure, right now. But how do you not be happy for a guy like Ray Allen, one of the nicest guys in the NBA, to finally get a ring? I mean, he's a guy that deserves a ring.
Is
you know
he,
what I mean?
Let me just ask one qualifying question. is he a Celtic?
He is.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't want the Celtics to win.
He's the guy that went out because his eye got hurt for a little bit.
That's the Celtic that actually got hurt in comparison with Paul Pierce, who got carried off the court in a wheelchair. And then he came jumping back in. F you.
All right. How about Kevin Garnett? You happy for him?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm jumping to conclusions. Is he a Celtic?
He is.
Well, then no.
Okay. Well, that's because you didn't see his speech after the game.
That's correct.
And I love this so much because the sideline chick, who does a pretty good job, Michelle Tafoya, is that her name? Michelle Tafoya? She does a pretty good job throughout the playoffs interviewing people during the game and stuff. She, for some reason, picks the worst time to ask the most detailed, lengthy questions of Kevin Garnett. He's standing there. He can't hear anything she's saying. But for some reason, she went to the Psycho Mike School of Interview where she does all the talking. And it was pretty funny after the game. Picture there's thousands of people on the court and the streamers and Queens, We Are the Champions is playing, and she decides this is the time to get in an in-depth line of questioning.
Kevin, 11-time All-Star, League MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. Now it's time to add to your resume, NBA Champion. How does that sound?
Okay, now how about just, hey, congratulations. How do you feel?
Yeah.
I mean, how about just give him the mic and let him talk?
She bugs me because she seems like to me she goes out of her way to prove how much she knows. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like compensating. She's afraid people won't accept her because she's a woman, so she has to get all the information in. That bugs me.
I couldn't tell if he couldn't hear her or if he was just too emotional. I think that's what it was, is he was too emotional because it takes him a very long time to answer the question.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
It was like having Shaq back for a second, wasn't it? Anything's possible!
First he says it, then he shouts it.
Right, exactly. All right. That'll happen again later.
Kevin! Such emotion! It's all right. Don't apologize.
This is everybody in soda.
Okay, so this is what's great about Kevin Garnett, is he all of a sudden is going to do a shout-out to everybody he's ever met in his life. And let's see if we can figure out who he's talking about. The shout-out to soda clearly is to the Timberwolves and their fans, where he played for a lot of years and didn't win.
Oh, that's Minnesota. I thought he said, Minnesota. I got me a soda.
No. Shout-out to soda.
Okay, Minnesota.
Let's see where he goes next.
This is everybody in Chicago.
Did he play for the Bulls, too?
I don't think
so. What's the Chicago connection? Mike, do you know?
I don't know. Maybe that's his hometown. I just don't know.
BB!
BB. All right.
BB friend, maybe?
It's for everybody! South Tank!
Huh?
Everybody, and then Show.
Basswood! My mama peanut! See everybody right now! Oh, my mama! Oh, my mama made it, man! Top of the world! Top of the world!
Anyone get that laundry list?
Mama. I heard Mama and I heard Bad Swood.
I heard Peanut. Is there a Peanut in there too?
Shogun.
Peanut?
I heard
Shogun? I don't know.
Kevin!
I can't believe she's asking him another question at this point. Look at the way the interview is going.
Apparently,
and clearly, he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't want to be talking to her right now.
According to producer Alex, he went to high school in Chicago.
Oh.
So that's why he was shouting in Chicago.
All right, so Michelle's got another long-winded question, apparently, that she feels like she has to ask at the most inopportune time.
Kevin! You have no idea. What does top of the world feel like, Kevin?
Man, I'm so happy right now. I'm not finna sleep for a week. I'm not finna. Ray Allen had a great game. Paul Pierce, everybody. I can't even take all this, man, but I'm certified. I'm certified.
All right, he's certified. I think coming up is when he hits on Michelle. He realizes, hey, you know what? I just got a ring, man. Maybe I can score with the sideline reporter.
Michelle, you look good tonight, girl.
Michelle, you look good tonight, girl. I don't think that's ever been said in a post-game interview.
No, probably not.
One more, Kevin. To do this, you talked about Minnesota. You talked about that. But to do this
in Boston with a franchise this storied against a franchise like the Lakers. What does that mean to you? You're a student of the game.
You have to understand when you come here, it's a lot of responsibility that comes with putting this great jersey on.
And this is what I love, by the way. That's the Kevin Garnett that we always see.
Right.
The articulate, smart guy is the guy. But for some reason, like in the middle of that interview, he just went all ghetto on us.
BB, mama, swood,
top of the world,
peanut.
Anyway, it was very, very exciting. Very tough to watch, I know, for you, Kevin.
Oh, you.
Coming up after the news at 7, by the way, Psycho Mike has some tape to play for us. He was at the courthouses around Southern California that were doing the gay weddings yesterday. Mike, I'm surprised you didn't get married while you were down there. I'm sure
maybe,
you thought about it.
Maybe I did.
Oh, I guess we'll
find
out. Wednesday morning, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Did you guys catch the premiere of Weeds on Showtime this week?
Oh, I taped it. I love that show.
Very funny.
Did very well for itself. The fourth season premiere of Weeds on Showtime had more viewers than any other original series on the network in the past 4 years.
Wow.
Good numbers.
How about that?
Good numbers.
Did you see it, Ralph?
I did not. I also have it TiVo'd. I have not yet had a chance to watch it.
You know what a big Albert Brooks fan you and I are.
Yes.
He plays her father-in-law, and it's so great to see him back acting, because he just doesn't work very much, but he's so great, and he's so funny on this show.
Great to see him back acting again. Also, Secret Diary of a Call Girl, which followed Showtime, did equally as well. It was a nice lead-in. Pulled in nearly 1 million viewers for the Showtime cable network. Did you guys catch that?
I did watch that as well.
Oh, you didn't like it?
It was okay.
Not for you.
I didn't see boobies in it in the few minutes that I saw of the show, and that disappointed me.
It's not for you.
What's the point?
They don't drive in a carpool lane or anything. It's not for you, Lisa. They don't have brothers and sisters in trees or whatever other shows you watch.
Didn't see boobies. What's the point?
Boobies! It's on Showtime. It's about hookers. Right. How about showing some boobs?
Why don't you just watch Skinamax and then you'll get all your spank fill watching that.
Right, but why wouldn't they?
Leave the grown-ups to watch the other shows, B.
Why wouldn't they if they
here's
could?
Here's your banky and a coloring book. Just leave us alone. Robert Downey Jr.'s success in Iron Man is already getting him more opportunities as an action comic book movie star. The Hollywood Reporter is claiming that he is in talks to star in Cowboys and Aliens, another comic book-based feature film, a sci-fi movie about a spaceship that lands in the Wild West, which is a very popular comic book series and would make an excellent film.
Depending on who
wacky.
Does it.
Yeah, if he's in it, it'll be excellent.
Yeah.
Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. ABC has just extended his late-night deal for a year. Oh,
wow.
They must have such faith.
Yeah, that's confident.
The whole year?
His career.
He's a fan.
Stop it.
That means ABC's keeping Jimmy through 2010.
Can't throw the guy a bone and give him 2 years, really?
Dude, what do you want? 2010. He's got a job for 2 years.
I, as a broadcaster and a sports professional, can in no way condone this.
I know it's probably because I'm friends with him and I like him a lot, but it's the only late-night show I watch anymore. So let's extend that to 2020.
Better than that crappy Letterman, huh?
I don't watch him anymore.
Mm.
Don't have time. Too busy.
You know, for a guy who doesn't do a lot, you claim to be busy with doing a lot of things.
Too busy not watching Weeds.
Oh,
yet.
I see.
Yeah.
You know what the latest trend in music is now? The biggest,
latest?
Hottest, coolest thing?
Reggaeton?
In music?
No.
Vinyl.
Really?
LPs.
Well, back to the old albums when
people
they used to play them.
People are going nuts for the LPs.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, there used to be a system of music delivery where they would give you a giant vinyl disc, and you would take a needle, and the needle would ride in the grooves of that disc and replicate the sound on the piece of vinyl out through a giant set of speakers.
That sounds so unlikely.
But it actually happened.
You're making it up.
So futuristic, there's no way that could happen.
It actually happened. Wow. Apparently, vinyl is selling so well now that Capitol Records is re-releasing some of their classic albums on vinyl this summer.
Thank God.
John Lennon's Imagine album, Paul McCartney and Wings Band on the Run, Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. They're going to sell for about $25 a piece, and it'll be just like having the original packaging when you bought the vinyl. But apparently kids are snapping up the vinyl.
Well, there are There are a lot of people. I do not have sophisticated enough ears to tell much difference, but there are an awful lot of people who really believe that the vinyl sounds better.
Yeah.
They really love that analog sound.
But you know, I don't understand. I don't listen that closely either, so I don't care. But I do. What I do miss about the LP versus the CD is just the sheer size of the thing. When you held an LP and you looked at the cover art of an LP,
yeah,
it was awesome because you got to see. You really got to see it.
That's your complaint? Is art. That CDs aren't big enough? Because the art isn't big enough?
The art isn't big enough. The packaging, when you used to get an LP, you'd have a lyric sheet with it all on the back of the album
that
or either
so
on the inside.
True.
Or sometimes they'd give you a booklet that came along with it. It was just a cooler packaging. I don't care what was inside, but I like the physical size of the LP.
I can see that.
That was cool.
But I'm also outraged by the fact that they're charging $25 because it's all gravy. Whatever they're selling on vinyl at this point, especially on an album like, you know, the Lennon and Beach Boys and stuff like that, they ought to be selling them for $5. It costs less than that to make them, you know?
Imagine that. The record industry making an enormous profit on what they sell.
It's, Bean is not going to pay $25. You got to know.
It's absurd. It's an absurd arbitrary number.
He'll drive to every store in America to get it for $24.
He would get just a raw piece of vinyl and flatten it with a steamroller and groove the music into it himself with a knitting needle and a jeweler's glass. Before he would pay $25.
You guys are with me, though, that's absurd.
I'm with you that you're cheap.
He is a cheap bastard.
That's what I'm with you on.
I went to Best Buy.
Bean does not throw money around, is what we're saying.
Yesterday.
Not a spendthrift,
right.
Is what
and
we're trying
to had in the front of the CD displays at the Best Buy yesterday, they had the Coldplay Viva La Vida on vinyl on display for all to buy.
Okay.
Okay,
that's a great story.
You end the story now with...
And then you tried to buy it, and it was $25, and you said, no!
There has to be more to that story. Validate my parking. It's free parking, sir. I know, validate it anyway.
I'm supporting Ralph's story that vinyl is making a comeback. I mean, this
did
was
you
in
buy
a major
it?
Big
did you
box
not
retailer.
It?
I did not buy it, no.
Exciting story.
Bean saw one, people.
Exciting story.
Well, you know, when you live on the island... LP sightings are an exciting adventure.
Maybe next hour we could get more detail on that one.
He came back and told the rest of the tribe around the fire that night.
I saw a big round disc hold many songs.
Exciting story.
Many people stand in line to purchase.
And then they say, really,
they
did you buy it?
Trade much money for album.
I wasn't buying Manhattan, Ralph. Just seeing an album, that's all.
It's not a story.
Like you took a trip through time then because you went to Best Buy.
My point is that you're right. That vinyl is back, and I saw it with my own eyes yesterday at a major retailer.
Not right? Interested.
You think people were doubting me when I said vinyl was back? That you had to come, had to come to my rescue and support it with a story of Best Buy?
Bean can verify that.
I don't think Ralph's telling the truth when he says people are into vinyl. What does Bean have to say? Can he back up his claim? Ass. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of vinyl, Paul McCartney of the Beatles, who had a lot of vinyl.
Yeah.
Yes, he
back
did.
Back in the day. 66 years old today, as is movie critic Roger Ebert.
Oh.
That's a guy I want to see put on vinyl. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. And actress Isabella Rossellini is 56 years old.
Eat me,
today.
Frank.
That's pretty
Daddy
good impression
blue
from
velvet.
Blue Velvet.
Daddy needs blue velvet. Eat me, Frank. Eat me.
Your neighbor from the neighborhood. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha talking about A Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila coming up. Plus, we're going to talk to Matt Moneysmith from Boston.
Yeah.
He can't be happy this morning,
no,
right?
No.
And Wee Man joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. There's a lot going on in that little dude's life. Plus, Adam Yalk from the Beastie Boys on the way. First, though, gay weddings. Yesterday was the big day. Officially open for business for gay couples, lesbian couples to go down and get married. We're going to get some tape from Psycho Mike here in just a moment. He was out on the courthouse steps yesterday. But George Takei, who I guess next to Ellen and Portia, George Takei and his longtime boyfriend of 21 years, they got to be kind of the face of the celebrity gays that are getting married this summer so far. I think you'd have to agree. Here he is picking up his marriage license, making the inevitable Star Trek reference.
So congratulations to all of us, and may equality live long and prosper.
George Takei, of course, played Sulu on the old Star Trek TV series back in the 60s and then went on to play that in the movies a lot. And he's stealing Leonard Nimoy's spot.
I was going to say, that's not even his phrase.
Not even his line.
Yeah.
Access Hollywood did a big story last night about their big upcoming day.
Marriage, the final frontier conquered for Star Trek's George Takei and his partner of 21 years, Brad Altman.
Now, I know they're not getting married until September. I don't think I can hang with all the Star Trek references between now and then every time George Takei comes up.
I got to tell you, this is why I hate those entertainment shows, because she says marriage, the final frontier, finally conquered.
Yes. F you. Well, she's just beginning.
Clasping hands and smiling, they were the first in line this morning to apply for their marriage license.
I want you to sign.
Now they are geared up for their September the 14th wedding day.
By the way, listen to how gay the music is.
I do like the gay music, though. That's funny.
Here's George's partner talking about what a big day it is for them.
It's going to be the best moment in my life.
A moment that will beam with guests, including Takei's Trek co-stars.
Okay.
It's all not, right.
It's going to beam.
A moment
because
will
on
beam.
Star Trek, Kevin, they used to beam me
the,
up.
It's not even the correct usage.
I know. They're trying so hard. Let's find out who's going to be at the wedding.
The William Shatner seems to be a non-mention.
We have a short list and a long list, and Bill is on one of the lists.
As an early wedding gift, we gave the pair a set of Erase Hate, Love and Pride rings, which they put on right away.
Congratulations.
Bye. Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, my.
It's about to get very gay here. I'm warning you right now. You may hear more about Mr. Sulu than you ever hoped to.
At a private celebration, we joined the duo for some bubbles and cake at a West Hollywood staple, The Abbey, where the champagne and thoughts of the honeymoon seem to take over.
I love you three times as much.
Boy, that champagne's really working fast.
And I can have my way with you.
You always do.
Okay, they
yeah.
did that or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. You didn't run pitching. Into, I didn't know that.
You didn't run into Mr. Takei in your travels around the Southland yesterday, huh?
Unfortunately, no, I did not. But I ran into a lot of couples that were either on their way to get married or just finished getting married.
Right.
I was in front of the Los Angeles County Courthouse in Beverly Hills, and then I also drove around West Hollywood just looking for people that I thought, you know, fit the bill.
People walking down the street?
No, well, that's exactly what happened. I was leaving the courthouse. I'm driving down Santa Monica Boulevard, and I think I've got all the tape I need, and I see a man in a wedding dress and a man in a tuxedo walking together. I'm like,
all right, then.
You turn, go get some tape from them. So, like I said, these are all people who are either just got married or are about to go get married.
Fabulous. It's just great. I have three brothers who've all been married, and I'm delighted to join them.
After 6 years of being engaged, we are now going to be married legally in the state.
Oh, I've been married about 3 years now, and I just want to ask you this. Are you sure this is something you want to do?
No, it's time for us to suffer like everyone else.
I have every confidence in the people of the state of California that they see the fairness in having gays and lesbians united in marriage.
When the people of California review what the Supreme Court did in their 171-page decision, most people will agree with it.
Any traditions in a gay wedding that are different than a straight wedding?
Not that I can think of.
We give the ring, you know, obviously the wedding ring. You guys give the big brown ring.
Wow. We've been together for 16 years, and we want to have the same rights as straight people who are married. We were each married to a man many years ago, and we want to feel the same way we did as, in terms of people recognizing our union, and we are as committed to each other as straight people are who are married.
My bosses seem to believe that I might be gay. What do you think?
Possibly.
In my opinion, most straight men don't look this good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been given us as a right, and we want to take advantage of the right.
Opponents of same-sex marriages believe that marriage is strictly for procreating, but what about women who have wizened vaginas and men who have shriveled balls so that can't procreate?
That's exactly right. I think that there should be a test before you get married if you're straight, that if you can't procreate, you can't get married. And if you're over 60 and your balls are gone anyway, not allowed to get married.
Just how great is male ass?
Oh, it's pretty nice.
Certainly male ass is good times.
Fantastic.
The separation between church and state has been almost lost in this country, and it's got to come back. Religious zealots, fanatics that want to impose their religion on us, and I don't want to have my life governed by them.
Well, ladies, I wish you the best. Congratulations. This is a very important day for you, I would imagine. And I, too, am a big fan of vagina. So
Thank you, Mike.
I wish you the best in the future.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Sounds like Mike made some friends out there.
I did. A lot of nice people I met yesterday.
And that music, it sounds familiar. I'm not...
That was Dance Down. That's...
First, though, our friend LaQuisha on the phone talking about last night's Tila Tequila, A Shot at Love 2 on MTV. Good morning, LaQuisha. How are
good
you, my
morning,
dear?
Good morning, Kevin and B. How y'all doing?
Very good, thank you.
Well, I'm a little bit confused because Ralph was talking earlier this week about how Tila Tequila is dating Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas. Does that mean that she doesn't find true love on Shot at Love?
He must have been mistaken because there's so much true love on this show.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I can't imagine that she doesn't find her person that she spends the rest of her life with on this show.
Like she did last
exactly
last year.
It's down to three people now. Bo, who's the only guy left, and Brittany and Christy, the two lesbians. One of them's kind of a wannabe lesbian, but the other one's a full-blown field hockey playing, softball playing, sports bar waitress being lesbian.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, she takes them on a trip this episode to the City of Love, Cancun, Mexico, which isn't really the City of Love. It's like the city of alcohol poisoning and sure. dysentery. But still, she takes them there, and you would think these three people never been to a hotel in their lives. Their eyes all bugging out of their heads when they come to this hotel.
Oh, my God!
When we first walk into the room, there's all kinds of exotic fruits and champagne and everything.
Look at our view. Oh my God. Shut up.
No, you shut up. Look, there are exotic fruits here. Exotic fruits. That's the name of a bar Psycho Mike go to, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think so.
Look, well, a bed and a TV. This is crazy.
There's a window and it has curtains on it. Shut up. No, it does. Well, anyway, it's time for the activities to prove true love to Tila Tequila. And the first of those activities is, of course, jet skiing. Because nothing says love like jet skiing.
Sure.
So, I don't know if you guys know this, but I love jet skis. And we are going to go jet skiing today! Oh,
yes! Who doesn't know that Tila Tequila loves jet skiing by now? By this day and age, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah, I never heard that.
Oh. Anyway, Bo can't get on the jet ski because, you know, he's still got a plate in his jaw where that guy headbutted him and broke his jaw. So Tila picks an activity that Bo cannot participate in.
Good.
So her and the lesbians are off jet skiing and Bo's sitting there on the shoreline and he's not too happy.
Bullshit, man. Retarded, man. Damn it, dude.
You know it's retarded talking to yourself in the sand.
He's well-spoken.
Yeah, he is. Well, they get back from jet skiing, and they have to have a competition. It's time for a challenge to see who loves Tila the most.
Sure.
And I can only think of one way to really decide who loves Tila more than anyone else.
This is
the condom blow-up race.
Oh, wow.
Each of you would jump into the pool, grab your condom, then put the condom on the pump and blow it up using your butt.
Oh, come on.
No.
That is a well-known, tested way of making sure that someone loves you.
That's how the Amish people do it.
That's right.
They put a condom on a pump, and then you got to sit on it with your butt and blow it up between your legs in the condom blow-up race.
Oh. Are you kidding me? I thought pig vagina was the bottom of the barrel. I can't believe they're doing this.
Well, they figure out the order of the night dates by who wins the condom race. So each of these people gets a night with Tila. And the first person to go is Bo.
Okay.
And on his special date, he takes the opportunity to apologize for his behavior on the beach when he was being all pouty about the jet skis.
I'm actually very thankful that I had this opportunity because I'm sorry if I was very brash, but I truly was hurt. You know, I really, really wanted to do that.
But you know, your reaction really hurt my feelings, and then I just didn't know what to say to that. It kills me to see you not have a good time with us, and then I feel really bad about that.
Tila's in tears.
Shut up.
I wanted you to have a good time. That's why I chose an activity I knew the producers wouldn't let you participate in. Because I love you so much.
That hurt my feelings.
Meanwhile, while Bo's on a date with Tila, the two lesbians are back together in the hotel room.
Yes.
Hanging out.
Yes.
Okay. And what do you think they're doing?
Good things.
Skinny dipping.
Yes.
We're topless. We're hanging out in the ocean, and it was so cool.
Show your boobs!
Show your boobs.
All right, then.
Well, the next up on the date is Brittany. Brittany gets her solo date with Tila, and she doesn't just want this date. She needs this date.
I don't just want to date Tila, like, I need to date someone like her. I really want to tell Tila tonight on the date just how much I want this.
Yes.
I want to give her I'm happy to be your stalker card. Yeah,
sounds date, like it.
Because I need you. Well, Brittany thinks her date goes pretty well with Tila, and she's pretty happy with herself afterwards.
Tonight, my date with Tila went very smooth, and
Like, I feel like I was goofy on this date and I was romantic on this date. Like, I was all those things tonight. Like, she saw me as a whole.
Yes, she sees you as a whole.
Yes, she does.
I think many people on the show see you as a whole, Brittany. Now, keep in mind, Bo spent the night with Tila on their date.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yes. Brittany also spent the night with Tila on their date.
Okay.
Just showing up at breakfast together after their date. Now, Christy's on a special date with Tila Tequila.
No girl's ever wanted to be in a relationship with me. That's why I was so strong on, like, I really hope that you see more than just the look.
The look. Right? I have a high-definition television.
Yes.
And her look looks like a proactive commercial. That's what her look is.
Uh-oh.
Big fake boobs and then skin that needs a good sandblasting.
Oh.
So the look is not something I would focus on if I was Christy.
Yeah.
But Christy also spends a night with Tila on their date. And she is just happy to walk into the breakfast room with everyone being there to see Tila Tequila on her arm.
Good morning. It feels so nice to walk into breakfast with Tila. It was just like, yeah, I spent the night with her and you guys did it.
But they did.
Except for the fact that they all did.
Before you.
Yeah.
So last night it was the other girl and two nights ago it was the dude. And now you're getting sloppy furs.
Yeah.
How happy can you be?
I think Tila has an offer next season where every viewer gets to spend the night with her as well.
Well, you get to get your shots before you go on that trip.
No kidding.
Well, now it's down to the elimination, and everyone is very nervous. And I think Brittany speaks for all of them about how they're feeling at this moment.
You worked so hard to get here. You ate so many things to get here.
That's true. They did have to eat a lot of weird crap to get to this point in their lives.
Yeah.
And sadly, when it's all over, Brittany, the butch lesbian who plays softball and is a bartender and whatnot.
Is she the one that said, nobody wants me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she gets to go home, and leaving only zit-face Christy and Bo, the dude left over. And Brittany needed to be with Tila Tequila. And now we know why, because she needed to be on television. That's all.
Sure.
Why am I not in the same spot as Christy and Bo? That's what hurts. I'm not here anymore.
No, you're not.
Really?
No, you're not, sweetie. Good girl. You are. You're a good girl. You understand.
I'm not here anymore.
You're not on television anymore. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Stupid lesbian.
Wow.
One more episode, LaQuisha?
One more episode. It comes down to Bo or Christy. Will she go for the wang bone or the pig vagina?
Now,
we don't know.
Now, it is true love, though, right?
Oh, whoever she ends up with, they will be true love. I promise you that.
Okay, good.
Of that much, I am certain.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
All right, bye-bye. Now.
Does anybody know when Game 6 is of the playoffs? Is it tonight? Or tomorrow night? When is it?
I think it was...
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was last night, and although it didn't go well for the Lakers, I think for Game 7, they're going to come back and they're going to kick ass.
Not so much.
Lakers!
That was brutal.
Lakers!
That was not good.
Lakers!
Now on the Laker radio broadcast team, formerly the sports guy at the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, let's say hello to Matt Money Smith on the phone from Boston. Hey, Money.
Hey, who is that idiot that was on your show like 2 days ago? And said that, like, no team was really dominant. The Lakers had a great shot. That guy was stupid.
I think that guy was Matt Money Smith.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Money, you know?
What happened, dude?
Well, I think to quote a famous drop from the old Kevin and Bean show there, so that happened.
Yeah. So that happened, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill Plachke sums it up in his headline this morning in the Times. MVP, more like MIA. Kobe was shut down like I've never seen him before last night. What was the problem there?
Yeah, I think that was kind of, you know, outside of game three, that was kind of the whole series. You know, I mean, they were determined to force the Lakers to beat them. And unfortunately, they just could not rise to the occasion. I mean, by the Lakers, the entire team, you know, it was very similar last night, kind of what I said after the game, when people were trying to get their head around what happened to Kobe, was, you know, is very reminiscent of the late 80s, you know, Jordan rules that the Detroit Pistons employed, where they would throw two, three, four guys, would not allow him to get into the paint, and said, hey, you know, if those dudes that play with him can beat us, then you know what? We're happy to go down. But this guy is not going to do it. And that's what they did it with Kobe. And, you know, for a couple halves and a couple quarters and, you know, one or two games, it worked out. And Powell and Lamar and Sasha, and of course, in game four stepped up, game three stepped up. But it just, you know, could not sustain over a seven-game series.
He made just seven shots of 22 last night. That's all he had.
Yeah, yeah, he started four or five, and then remainder of the, you know, whatever, do the math, four or five, and I think 3 of 15 the rest of the way.
But the problem is, if he passes it to somebody else, they have to, I don't know, make a shot.
Yeah.
And then if they do, then he's more open. I mean, they feed on each other. If somebody else can score, then they have to worry about somebody else, but they just, they didn't have to.
Last night was weird, you know, when you just kind of, when you watch, you know, sitting there courtside and watching the way it was going down. I mean, I think the best word, and I mean, not to try to sound all street, yo, but was, you know, they got punked. Yeah. I mean, they really did. They just got, you know, they got busted up in that game. They had no offensive rebounds in the first three quarters of the game. I think they had 4 points in the paint, you know, the first two and a half quarters. I mean, it really was just a beating.
How does a team get this far into the playoffs? They've had an entire season, and they've had three different series before this, right?
Yep.
How do they get to this point and then just get dismantled and don't even, it looked like to me, in the second half at least, don't even try to play defense. They just quit. How does that happen?
I think what happens is, you know, and this is where, you know, maybe unlike some other people, I'll give credit to the Celtics, you know, it was that defense. I mean, that defense frustrated the Lakers.
Right, but why won't the Lakers play defense, though? You can play defense.
Yeah, I think what happens
on an off night.
What happens is, you know, when the Lakers are shooting 29% and 25%, you know, missing three out of every four shots, that's leading to rebounds for the Celtics and transition baskets for the Celtics, and the Lakers' defense not being back because they're missing so many shots. And I think, you know, what happened is next thing you know, those things start to snowball on you. And you just, they just get away, you know, and I think that's what happens. They just kind of, they sneak away from you. And
that didn't sneak away from them. That really was a poke in the eye.
Well, I mean, shot to the throat, but that's what happened in the second quarter, you know. I mean, I think that's essentially what happened was the second quarter just got away. And they tried to reel it in the first 5 minutes of the third, and unfortunately, free throws and missed shots again, it just got worse, you know. And you looked up at the scoreboard, and you're like, damn, they're down 29 points.
Yeah, that's a lot, it turns out.
This is former sports guy Money from the Kevin DeBean Show, of course, now with the Lakers radio broadcast team on AM 570. Starting today, or maybe starting tomorrow, I guess. Today, people will be wanting to hear what you say about the game. But starting tomorrow, you have no listeners. You and P are just talking to each other, right? I mean, that's the deal on your show, right, buddy?
I'll tell you, man, we have talked about nothing but basketball. And, you know, we like to play grab ass and screw around. I mean, we have been so Laker heavy for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Because everyone assumed that this was probably the team that was the odds-on favorite to win it all. And, of course, we're very excited about that. So, yeah, it's going to be weird. I don't know. There's this game, I guess, that's called the Great American Pastime, and it's this hard little ball. And they hit it with a stick and run around these bases. I don't know. I got to figure out what the hell that is.
You got to look into that.
Don't fall for that hype.
This is a good year to be a Cubs fan. You're fine there, Money. Hey, let me ask you this, because you were there last night. Who'd you talk to, and what did they have to say for themselves after that game?
I talked to everyone. I was with the guys last night, and they're you know, I think the appropriate range of emotions would be from bummed, like to the point where after kind of everyone said, all right, good night, and we had our late dinner and stuff, and we're bummed and really down about it, to just legitimately pissed off, you know, that this is how it ended. You know, that this great magical run that really was a fantastic season was ended on such a sour note. And at least for the near future, it's going to be pretty hard to enjoy all the great things and good things that happened this year for Laker basketball because of the way it ended.
Yeah, it was a great season. They were one of the two final teams, but when you get run off the court like that, it's pretty hard to remember all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's, you know, maybe there's, I don't want to say there's a positive, because there's just really there's no positive, but the idea that, you know, the one thing that was a knock on the Lakers was their physicality and their strength and their, you know, their ability to play physical basketball. And that was the one knock on them. Can a team that is more finesse and offense oriented beat up a team or run with a team in the finals that clearly, you know, likes to push people around, play defense and get physical? And the answer was no. So at the very least, that last game just accentuated the point that is what they have to do this summer, is get stronger
right.
and get tougher.
The Lakers had a great date, got her in the sack, had sex with her, then had to pull out.
Yeah, that's you know what? I'm gonna bring that up on the plane.
So yes, do. That's excellent. Money, one other thing. Are we positive that Radmanovich is still on the Laker payroll?
Not sure.
Okay,
did
good.
Did not see him.
Maybe he's the mole. Have you guys thought about that?
Yes.
That's what I'm worried about. Celebrity mole.
Let's just see who writes him a check. Maybe it's the Celtics. Not sure.
Vladdy has had a very tough go.
You think?
Since joining the Lakers. Yeah, he had a nice little stretch there in the middle of the season. And then, So that.
I wanted to punch him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was tough. Well, listen, we know you have a very long plane ride ahead of you, Money, but we can't thank you enough for squeezing in all the calls that you've been able to do throughout the playoffs in the Lakers. And we appreciate, and our listeners really appreciate your analysis. I mean, you have really done a terrific job of keeping us posted on everything. And, you know, like they say in sports, and you hate to hear it the day after a loss like that, there's always next year, right?
Yeah, there's always next year, and someone always has to lose. And, guys, I can't thank you enough for putting me on. I always enjoy it, miss you, and, I'll come hang out or something if you want me to come in, and we'll talk about baseball and cricket and highlight.
It'll be great. Cricket and highlight, I'm in on.
All right, Nat. Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's happening, Argar?
Well, you can't have a little success without someone coming at you and saying, hey, I want mine.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Andrew Hupfner, the frontman for a Brooklyn-based indie band called The Creaky Boards, has posted a new video.
They're good.
The best, the Creaky Boards. He posted his new video on YouTube claiming that Coldplay's Chris Martin stole Vita La Vida from him, from their band.
Oh, okay. Why would Coldplay need to steal a song? They pretty much can write their own.
That's what I would ask. However, in the video, Andrew juxtaposes the two songs with subtitles explaining that he thought Chris Martin was in the audience one night when they performed that same song at the CMJ Music Festival in October of 2007.
Yes.
We were flattered when we thought we spotted Chris Martin in the crowd that night. He seemed pretty into it. Maybe too into it.
That's fantastic.
Now, in their defense, if you go to this video, which I guess if you go to YouTube and you type in Creaky Boards, it'll come up. I've watched it, and there isn't a remarkable similarity between the two songs.
Right. Doesn't
surprise
me.
But I think that's where it stops, is that there just happens to be a remarkable similarity between two songs that two people write.
A clip of the Creaky Boards?
Sure.
How great is male ass?
That doesn't sound like the Coldplay song.
Maybe that's the wrong clip.
Look, there have been hundreds of these suits with the nobody suing the somebody, and I'm sure that sometimes they're right, but the only person who's ever lost the case is George Harrison that I've ever heard of in my whole life. Everybody else, the Bee Gees, Michael Jackson, all of them, they always rule in the star's favor as being capable of writing their own songs.
But with hard evidence, like we thought we saw him in the audience one night.
How can they go wrong?
I mean, come on. That's
I see millions of dollars in their future.
Case closed.
Yep. They haven't announced their lawsuit yet, although I'm sure it's just a matter of time. But in the video, it's like, okay, well, that's just what I wanted to say. I'm going to go play a gig now. I hope our sound guy passes the tip jar around.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Great. So,
just giving you a heads up. Coldplay, bunch of thieves.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know. Speaking of stealing, Denise Richards still denies that she stole Richie Zambora from Heather Locklear. But now the New York Post saying that just simply isn't the case. Word is Heather Locklear has phone and email records to show that her former best friend was initiating contact with her then-husband, Richie Zambora, and says it's a major slap in the face, considering how loyal she was to Denise during her split from Charlie Sheen. So no love lost between the two blonde bimbos. Hmm. Meanwhile, Denise is also trying to deny claims that she's an animal hoarder.
Animal hoarder?
Yes.
There's an awful lot of animals.
Certain animal rights groups are saying that she owns over 20 dogs with an assortment of other pets and that they couldn't possibly be all cared for properly.
I can't understand either of you.
Island full of beans.
You guys have some clearing of your throats to do. What are you saying?
I sadly have fewer animals every year. I'm the opposite of hoarding. I'm going in the wrong direction with
You're an animal killer. That's what you're saying. Killer. You're an animal murderer.
Remember when he took care of the chicken next
door? Rooster. Yeah. The rooster got...
How dare you.
Yeah. Next thing you know.
Gone.
I agree. I don't think Denise Richards should be raising kids or animals. I think they should really take her out of the loop.
She says she only has 5 dogs, 4 cats, and 3 pigs.
Well, that's nothing.
It's nothing. But she says on her ranch, she has 10 dogs.
Oh, good.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So she has
she
a separate...
feeds once a month when she goes to the ranch.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
She has a separate house that she doesn't live in that she has 10 dogs at?
Apparently, yes.
Okay, good.
So,
good. That's great.
How would you like to see an Arrested Development big screen version?
Yes,
yes, please.
That show
yes,
was
please.
Awesome.
The TV show Arrested Development. Rumors there may be a second life for it on the big screen.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be cool?
If you haven't seen that, it's not on anymore, but you can buy the DVDs, and it's a great show.
You know who's on board? Liza Minnelli.
What?
Liza Minnelli.
She was on the show.
Oh, that's
she said she would love to do it. She's dying to do it.
Any of the stars?
No. No, for the heart, just Liza. Liza's the only one who stepped forward and said, yeah, count me in. I would love to do it, she said. I bet you would, Liza. You need a job.
I couldn't be happier for Jason Bateman with the success that he's had on the big screen since Arrested Development, too. I mean, seeing him in Juno and in the upcoming Hancock and some other movies he's done, the guy's just a terrific actor.
I'm sorry, what was that first movie you mentioned?
Juno.
Juno?
There was no break. He just kept on going.
There's
never a break. He doesn't take a break.
Unless you're an animal, you can't get any peace.
Not sure what that means.
Everlasting peace.
Oh. Yeah. Got it.
Pet killer.
Yeah.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Ralph's doing his little talking heads tribute. Very nice.
Tom Cruise is nothing if not persistent. Star Magazine reports that after years of continuous asking, Katie Holmes' parents have finally agreed to go with the couple to a Scientology meeting at their church.
Oh, no.
Wow.
They're Catholic,
the Holmeses
aren't they?
Are hardcore Catholics. Yes, Lisa.
It's
but,
never going to take.
I guess, like, well, how do we get him to shut up?
Yeah.
He keeps coming to our house wearing an eye patch and a Gestapo uniform, asking us to go to a Scientology meeting. We just got to go, honey, or else he's never going to leave us alone.
Screw him,
said Mr. Holmes.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean they're joining. It just means they're visiting.
Trying to shut him up. You think it'll
but
help?
But, I mean, this just speaks to how little respect Scientologists have for other religions, because clearly they're Catholic. Let him be Catholic.
Nope.
Why do you have to convert? Look, you've got a religion that you're happy with. Go with it.
Well, the followers of Elrond would tell you that you can be a Catholic Scientologist. You can be a Jewish Scientologist.
Sure.
You can be any religion you want in addition to the magic of Scientology.
Right.
But you don't need Scientology if you've already got Catholicism.
How dare you?
How do you know, man? You haven't done the research.
I don't think you guys know, man.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
Maybe not.
And good news for William Hurt, who's having a little bit of a career comeback. He's currently starring in the smash hit The Incredible Hulk. He plays Thunderbolt Ross, the general in that movie, who's continually hunting down the big green guy. He just had been added to the cast of Damages, that very, very good FX series.
That is a great show, too.
Starring Glenn Close. He'll play the new client of Glenn Close's character, and will have a personal and professional relationship with Glenn Close in the series.
Ooh.
Last year it was Ted Danson as a client, and this year William Hurt. So that should be good. The two of them, by the way... If you remember, starred together in The Big Chill back in 1983.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? You've never seen The Big Chill?
I don't think so.
You've never seen The Big Chill?
I don't think so.
Here we go again.
What do you want me to do?
See The Big Chill?
Well, I don't want to.
It's a great movie.
All right, so what?
Well, don't you like great movies?
Yes.
Well, then shouldn't there automatically be some interest in it for you?
I don't have time.
Again, with the no time. What are you doing? Are you negotiating some sort of peace treaty in the Middle East?
I have no.
Here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't get, Kevin. If The Big Chill were coming out this weekend, you might go see it because it's exactly the kind of movie that you would very much enjoy. Why does it matter that it came out a while ago? If it's a good movie, it's still a good movie.
That's true. That's a good observation. Don't care. Back to you.
I don't have any time. What the hell are you doing? It's just
very
so time-consuming.
Very busy with stuff.
You're building an ark?
With the stuff I'm doing, the things that I'm doing, I'm very busy.
The things you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, when you said that he was going to have a personal relationship on the show, Kevin made the ooh, old people aren't sexy noise in his throat. I don't know if
she's
you heard
not.
Or not. He's like,
come
ooh.
On. Seriously,
no, I don't really.
Not.
I don't really, you know. I don't pitch a tent thinking about Glenn Close.
Yeah,
and
she's
Glenn
not
Hurt
hot or anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my
but
point.
But I'm saying it's reasonable for William Hurt and Glenn Close's characters to be together. That's
but
all. It's not
she's
gross.
Not hot. It's gross.
It's not
if
gross,
you're thinking about
though.
Glenn Close, of course it is.
But in terms of the dramatic narrative, I think Bean is saying that it makes sense the two would fall into some sort of romantic relationship.
It's not a bad idea that they're together.
Yeah.
You seem repulsed by it.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Ken doesn't have time for older people having sex. Just doesn't have time for it. He wouldn't mind if he had more time. He would let them have sex, but he just doesn't. He just can't.
Too busy.
We just say pound. That's what we call it in the hood.
Busy. He's got that barn raising going on in his neighborhood.
Not doing that.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
No time.
Silk the Shocker.
Yeah!
Yeah!
No Limit Soldier!
Mike took the time to write No Limit Soldier on my birthday sheet just to get me to talk about Silk.
Now, Silk isn't, Mike, help me out. Silk is not Master P's little brother, right?
He is Master P's cousin, the other cousin of C-Murder, who is in jail.
C-Murder, that's right.
Ironically, for rape. His name's C-Murder.
Yeah,
right.
She called him C-Rape. But that was probably already taken.
Yeah, sure.
He had to find another crime to name himself after. C-Arson, you ever hear him? He does good work. He's on fire.
C-Arson.
Isabella Rossellini's 56 years old today. Can I hear a little Isabella from Blue Velvet there, Psycho Mike?
Hit me, Frank. Hit me.
Sweet. Roger Ebert, legendary movie critic.
No jaw.
He's 66 years old today.
No jaw.
What, if you get to a fight, he goes down easy if you hit him? Is that what you're trying to say?
Literally, no jaw.
What? And Paul McCartney, former Beatle, former Wing, former songwriter. It's 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Is that Wee Man in the studio?
Yes.
Is that what I see? The jackass Wee Man himself?
Yeah, this is me.
What's happening, man?
Just waking up, filming a new show.
You're on Celebrity Circus.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What's going on? What are you doing?
Everybody asks me that. I get it asked all the time. Well, I was sitting at my house. And my manager called, and I'm just sitting around drinking coffee, half listening to what he says.
Right.
And I hear circus, and I'm just automatically like, I'm in!
Right. Now, let me stop you right there. Don't you say, go back to that part about the circus and tell me what it is?
And who else is on it?
Just in.
I'm one of those guys that, like, you have to know from Jackass stuff.
Oh, sure.
They say, hey, we're going to throw you off the bridge. And all you hear is throw off bridge. And you say, I'm in.
I'm in, yeah. Right.
You don't find out how big it is or where it's going to be or anything.
Thinking is a bad thing. You just go forward.
Remember the electric chair that they had you sit on 25 times?
Oh, yeah.
I just kept thinking, why is he doing that?
Well, it was 2 a.m. and we just got back from the bar. And they're like, hey, we got the guy. He showed up. And I'm like, Brad, dude, let's get more footage.
But see, that's part of it, I think. Part of the reason why Wee Man is so game for anything is because of how much they shoot for Jackass and how much stuff they have to shoot in order to get the stuff that works. But there have to have been some points along the way where you said, wow, the guy from NSYNC is the host. I'm out. I mean, there must have been some things that made you scared of this show.
Let me play a clip of Joey Fat One. Just to say, this is how he introduces the show.
Ladies and gentlemen. Women and children of all ages, welcome to the most daring celebrity competition on Earth. Tonight, 7 brave stars will risk their lives performing the most death-defying acts ever seen on television. This is Celebrity Circus!
Hey, take it down a notch there.
I like how he randomly emphasizes different words.
It's funny you should say that. Like, I love everybody. I'm a people person.
You are a people person.
And, I'm sure he's a very nice guy.
He's a rad guy. I sit there and, like, between filming things, I'm like, Joey, can you just, like, you are the ringleader.
Right.
Like, you're the ringmaster.
Right.
Make the circus big. And he goes, okay. And I'm like, it has to be more like, ladies and gentlemen.
So you're egging him on.
Yeah. And he said, I'm going to come in one day wearing the ringmaster suit.
And show him how it's
done. And kick his butt off the show. I'm showing him off.
You so should be.
No, but let me ask you this, Jason. Why are you the biggest star on the Celebrity Circus? I mean, no offense, but seriously, you're the biggest name on the show. What happened?
I don't know. I mean, I always think I get the short end of the stick.
Nicely done.
But I guess I'm wearing big boy pants this time.
Yeah, sure. You have Antonio Sabato Jr., you have Blue Cantrell, you have Christopher Knight, you have Janet Evans, who I guess was a swimmer, Rachel Hunter.
Yep.
Stacey Dash.
Are you gonna get a piece of Rachel Hunter, Wee Man?
Nah. I'm taken, and my girl comes every show. I'm a good guy.
Are you going to get a piece of the gay judge? Tell me who this dude is.
What a way to start the show. I'm sorry. You certainly got my pulse racing. That was a strong masculine performance.
Now, here's what I like, because on American Idol, you know, Paula Abdul, she allegedly has sex with them behind the scenes.
Right.
This is the judge on the show.
Full of fluidity. And you know what? Those intimate moments, you don't have to worry about that. I've got some spare time on my hands. We can go through that. Get your people to call my people. I'm free all next week.
All right.
He's not hiding it. What's that dude's deal?
I don't know, Kevin. He's there, and he doesn't like the wee man. He
More
likes
lisp.
All the other guys.
More lisp.
And America's gonna love him.
Who is that guy? He's
a choreographer. And of course, I have no choreography skills whatsoever.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I picked you as a choreography guy.
No, I come in there, and I'm like, okay, if we're gonna do something, I'm gonna do... I want the death-defying badass stuff.
Right.
You know, and of course, that goes against me.
They gave you the Wheel of Death.
The Wheel of Death, and I guess I made it look too easy. And how do you make something that's called the Wheel of Death look too easy? And I thought about it, and I go, okay, well, from my skateboarding background, you want it to look easy.
Right,
you
of course.
You want people to come and go, oh my God, did you see all the things he did? And
right.
How,
and it didn't even look like he was trying.
Yeah.
Of
that's,
course.
That's how I grew up.
Of
and
course.
I thought that's how right. The circus is supposed to be.
What, did they want you to fall or something? What was
I guess they wanted me to die on the Wheel of
it
Death.
It is the Wheel of Death. I mean, maybe that's...
is any of the stuff actually dangerous that they do on the show? Because, I mean, like on the High Wire, for instance, you're all, you know, everybody's got ropes and stuff like that. The fire dancing doesn't seem like you're really going to get hurt. I mean, is it dangerous or are they just making it look that way on TV?
No, there is... The Wheel of Death is dangerous. The other thing that's dangerous is the dual trapeze, which I will give Janet Evans, which she fell. There was nothing hanging on to her, and she fell 20 feet into
a net.
I saw that footage.
There was a mat. But she hit
she
the side
it,
of
right?
it. Yeah,
I saw
she
that.
Missed the side
she
of it.
She did.
And what was so crazy?
Hey, how about
was,
making the mat a little bigger?
Yeah, come on, guys.
Seriously.
Like, not they put like a little water bucket down. For
excellent.
Her.
That's good.
But
news.
Tell Kevin, wee man, what happened to her partner when she fell.
Oh, her top came off.
Hey!
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
No, okay, so what happened was Janet was trying to cover her up because her top ripped off.
Right.
And slipped from that, and everybody was paying attention like, hey, we got boobs over here, check it out. And here's Janet Evans on the ground.
Writhing in pain.
Yeah, and nobody's caring.
Nice.
But I was the only one that said, hey, everybody. Janet's on the ground. You know, and they're like, well, we got boobs in the air.
Oh,
how is Wee Man the voice of reason in any show?
That is not what you want.
Set.
You do not want that.
Yeah.
All right, what do you do tonight, Wee Man?
Tonight?
Can you tell us?
Yeah, I really piss off the judges, but I bring the crowd up.
Okay,
and good. But what it is I think because I'm such a big Lakers fan.
Uh-huh.
And my heart was out for them. They
right.
lost. I had to lose a little, too.
I see.
So I do the German wheel.
The German wheel.
What
the
is
German
that?
Wheel.
What
it sounds like a sex position.
Yeah. Well, of course, here's the one that Chris breaks his arm on.
Oh, where he fell
yeah.
face first.
Nobody else wants to touch it. And I'm like, give
it
me the German
hard.
Wheel.
I'll do the German wheel.
Yeah. And of course, I make it look too easy and I'm not doing the tricks.
You know what? You want those judges to be against you.
Oh, yeah.
Having seen that show, you
yeah.
know who you like by their enemies.
I'm not really keen on having the gay guy hit on me while I'm getting judged.
All right. We need to take a break, but Wee Man is one of the fine contestants on Celebrity Circus, which inexplicably airs on an actual network, NBC. That's tonight at 9:30, Celebrity Circus. Wee Man, you're going to hang with us for the hour, right? We'll take a break and come back?
Yeah. I'm here so you kick me out.
All right. Fantastic.
Professional skateboarder and jackass fun guy Wee Man in the studio of the world famous K-Rock Celebrity Circus, of course, tonight at 9:30 on NBC. Wee, you mentioned earlier you're a Laker fan. What's your 30-second synopsis of what went so horribly wrong in Beantown last night?
I didn't get to watch the game
last
night.
No, you're so lucky.
Because we were filming.
You're so lucky.
Okay.
But I will say this. The other day,
brutal.
Yeah. The other day I went to meet my mom for lunch because I had to grab something from her. And sitting right behind her was Phil Jackson.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
And it took me so much to say something, like, hold in from not saying something. I wanted to say, like, get out there and coach.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought.
Kevin's been saying.
Bro, you know?
I know he's got 9 rings or whatever, 8 rings and all that, but it just seemed like he wasn't doing anything.
He was lounging, and he was sitting in this restaurant nonchalant, and I wanted... I kind of wanted to kick him. You know what I mean?
I felt that way too, but then on the other hand, I'm just an idiot fan, and he's got all the rings. Yep, what do I know?
Exactly.
But wow, okay.
Well, you know.
Well, you're lucky you didn't see it because it's the kind of painful basketball game that I don't think you'll ever forget it, Kevin. I honestly don't think a lot of seasons will come and go, but you'll always remember the night they lost by 39. I don't think you can forget that.
They brought in their subs, Boston did, and they were driving all the way to the rim. And
they brought in their kids.
Lakers kids.
They did.
Fans got to throw
parents. It was ugly. It was not a good game.
Let me ask you this. We have a lot of guests on this show over the years, a lot of celebrities that we talk to. Very few of them are as happy as you are, who seem to be generally so optimistic and having fun. What's the secret? How does the wee man stay so happy?
I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and she said she kind of raised me as a, like I was the runt of the group, even though I'm her only kid. But she raised me tough. And then, having your mom raise you tough, and then you go outside, and you're like, man, it's so sunny outside. I love this.
Does that mean, like, she beat you down all the time?
No, she was just really strict, you know, because she knew, okay, I'm a little person. I might really have it tough in this world.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, it was more like people came up to me, and, you know, I'd meet new friends in different areas, and they're like, if anybody messes with you, I got your back.
Because you're a cool guy.
I guess
but everyone loves you. Yeah, everyone loves you. And I know you can't make a blanket statement about any type of person. You can't say, you know, all Chinese people are this or all tall people are that or whatever. But, I mean, it seems like there are a lot of little people who are pretty angry. Am I wrong about that?
No,
have you encountered that?
Yeah, they're even angry at me.
Yeah,
I know. You know what I mean? Little people are That's mad weird, at right? me.
Why are they mad at you? Because they want you to be like the spokesperson or something?
No, it's more like little people go after these jobs, you know, the elf, the whatnot, or whatever, and it's like it's a fight for it. And I kind of just go out for me, you know what I mean? I don't.
Well, you
go
carved
for
your own path. You didn't make it by being an elf.
No, I didn't want to be an elf. I didn't even like when I was younger. I didn't want to go to Hollywood. Like I didn't want to be in Hollywood.
But how are they mad at you? They're mad at you just because you've made a success out of yourself.
Yeah. It's like
they don't
that.
Say good for you.
Some do, you know, some do, but you get that you can tell it's like a, hey, what's up, buddy? But behind their head, they're like, what a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, I get that feeling sometimes, but you know, you take it. It's always the guy that, you know, they see somebody on top. Everybody wants to be up for, it doesn't matter, little person or not.
Do you think it's like the bits where you dress up with Preston in a diaper or, you know, like an Oompa Loompa or something? Do you think interpret that as like trivializing the plight of little people?
I can see them thinking that, but I just use it as like, hey, I'm going to use what every little, you know.
Of course.
It's hard. It's funny. You do it because it's funny. That's you know? Funny. How did you get into skateboarding?
It's funny. I tell this story all the time in interviews. When I was growing up, my mom and I lived on the beach, and she had a boyfriend at the time. And it was Christmas, and she went to get him a skateboard for Christmas.
Right.
And I was like, Mom,
what about
that's
me?
What I want, you know? So next thing I know, like my next birthday or whatever, I got a skateboard and I never put it down. I had a skateboard and I skated everywhere.
She put you on it and she would whip you if you didn't keep going?
No, actually, she used to take my skateboard away from me if I got in trouble because she knew that was my one and only love.
That was what you, that was work.
Yeah.
Is Big Brother coming back, the magazine? Do you know?
I don't know if it's coming back or what the deal is. Dick House, you know, publications that owns Jackass and stuff, they have it back from Larry Flint.
Okay.
So, you know.
Well, so they could bring it back if they wanted to.
They could bring it back. There's nothing said about it right now. I mean, it is in our hands.
speaking of the skateboarding, here's my follow-up question for that. Maybe this will lead us into our next topic. And that is, did you ever have one of those little wheels that you could run around? Like you know, like
hamster?
The little. They're like a hamster wheel. Do you ever get one of those?
What are you talking about?
No.
Oh.
What kind
of question is that?
Did you get that kind of from like the Wheel of Death where I was running around like a hamster?
There's
in
no explaining where he gets his stuff.
I thought you might have one. That's all.
Never had a hamster wheel.
But maybe other K-Rock listeners have similar questions they'd like to ask Wee Man.
Well, I hope they don't. I hope they don't have those questions.
I think they have the sense to know that's a stupid question.
Yeah. We'd like to do Ask a Midget.
All right. But what's funny is, like, I don't care about the word midget.
Right.
But to most little people, they would take it as like ask an N-word.
Yeah, we know.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, we've heard. We've heard.
What, but that's not universal.
It's not. It's.
Do you think you're alone and not caring?
No, there's a few others. There's like. There's a guy I know. He calls himself Mike the Midget. You know, so I don't think he cares.
We love you.
Of
and
course.
We wanted to do Ask a Midget, and we were afraid. We were like, well, we don't want to offend him because we know it does offend some people.
Yeah.
I mean, we really didn't want to be
But a lot
to
of
you.
People have a lot of questions about it, and that's why we thought you'd be the man who could answer any question on any topic because
Bring
you've got
it all, on.
Because you're the man. Okay.
All right.
All right. So if you want to ask a midget, today's the day. Our friend Wee Man is in studio, Celebrity Circus tonight at 9:30 on NBC. But you call on any questions you've always wanted to know about the world of the little people. 1-800-520-1067. Scratch off the hamster wheel, though. We've already covered that one. Your calls when we return on the World.
So we're going to ask a midget, how hard is it? Is everything in your pants tiny? Or do you have something that hangs below your knee? What do you think about the word midget? Do you get offended or do you not give a shit? We're going to ask the man that's we. Do you have a special toilet to go pee?
Oh, stop it.
The little man knows all.
We're going to ask a.
I think Omar needs a vacation.
Wow. Just Brad, I want that. I want that song.
I was a little worried that you wouldn't like that word, so we had him also make.
So we're gonna ask him.
Dwarf.
I don't know if that's any better, but
all right. Here's
dwarf
the deal.
Is the politically correct term when you're being a doctor. And okay, nurse, we have the achondroplegic dwarf here. And
what's the difference between?
There is a difference.
There is, between and a I am and a dwarf.
What's the difference?
The difference is, notice how you and I are sitting across from each other, and we look eye to eye.
Right.
The only thing small on me is my limbs.
Oh, your arms and legs. I
my
see.
My arms and legs. And I do have to make a disclaimer.
Which limbs, exactly?
Yeah, I do have to make a disclaimer. In Jackass 2, I was having a beer and sitting in the jacuzzi before I went into the office meeting.
Right.
And I... Jeff, you
Naked.
Know, the director, main guy, said, "Wee Man, go run in there." I'm like, "Jeff, I'm in the jacuzzi drinking beer. Like, I'm going to be so turtled, it's not even funny."
Oh, this is you shrinkage I mean? Argument yes. you guys all pull out?
Yes, I was in the pool.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will say this too, Lisa May.
Yes.
I bet any guy in this building, mine is closer to my knee. Than anybody in here.
That's
well,
all.
I think you would
there you
that
go.
That's
probably
Mine's
true.
Closer to my knee than any guy in here.
All right. In the long traditions of the Ask Us on the Kevin and Bean Show, this is the one we've been waiting for. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to ask a midget with our friend the Wee Man. Why don't we start with let's start with Josh in Diamond Bar, who is calling with a great question on a topic that we have discussed for years on and off on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Josh. You're on with Wee Man. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? I was just wondering if there was really a town where there's all midgets, and if you drive in and they start chasing you and yelling stuff at you.
We've heard that for years.
Yeah, no, it's if
in
you
Long
go.
Beach,
no,
heard,
no,
and...
it's not Long Beach. That's a myth. It's inland from San Diego.
Okay.
And I don't know. I always call down there. I have the number. I can't give it out because they'll get pissed.
Sure.
And
but you've been there.
No, they won't let me in because they know I'll
they
just
like
film
it.
And do everything there. But
there is a midget town.
Yeah, and right. everything's little. Like the handrails are little and stuff. And I have
a
friend who skated in that town. So we're like, where are all these small little houses and stuff? And it's midget town.
There you go.
No kidding.
Really? Yeah.
And was it, I mean, what's the story behind it? Like, why was it built?
It's, well, from Wizard of Oz. Back in the day, all the little people from that got all this cash, bought this land, and built their
Where
own
they
town.
Wouldn't be
How about that?
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Wow. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Let's try Angela. She's on line one in Corona this morning. Wee Man is in the studio. Ask a midget. Go ahead, Ange.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was wondering, is it difficult to have sex with people that are taller than you?
No, actually, my chick's even here, and she could answer, too.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier. And
really?
Yeah, like the taller a chick is, the easier for some things it is, you know. But no, my chick, she's 5'4", and
you come up to her boobs. That's perfect, right?
Of course.
I mean, come on, that's better than anyone else.
Would it be different?
You gotta feel like a mountain climber some nights, though, we did.
Yeah, because like my torso is bigger than hers, And I'm just on top of her, and she probably thinks
that's like a too graphic.
Yeah, you know.
But it would be different for a little person versus a dwarf, right? Because they're
their whole body is small.
So in a midget, which you're not, the midgets everything's smaller, so the penis would be smaller as well.
Not that I'm going out and looking at midget dudes' penises,
right?
But
that's your understanding.
Yeah, that's my understanding in physical, like you know. In science.
Have you ever been tempted to try and bang like a WNBA player just to dominate something so massive?
No, I wish, but like the tallest chick I was ever with was 5'10".
That's big.
Yeah.
That's impressive, though.
Yeah, and I
you
used,
conquered her.
I used to have fish tacos standing up. Yes. You know what I mean? You know? So, I mean.
Oh, you rule. Let's try Robert in L.A. is on line 5 with Wee Man. Robert, go ahead. Ask a midget.
I'm saying it. I'm radio correct.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Correct.
You are.
Good work. Robert, go ahead.
Kevin Bean, Lisa May. Wee Man, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Just a quick question. Are there special regulations for you, like, to get a driver's license or anything like that? I mean,
Well, if you wanted to, you could come out to my BMW and check the check the pedals.
Face! Are the pedals further
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I need 5 inches.
Uh-huh.
And
that's what she said?
Yeah. Of course she did. Yeah, so I have these pedals that just clamp onto the other pedals.
Fantastic.
And that's it.
All right. That's easy. All right.
Yeah, it's not
much. We're almost out of time. We could go all day with Wee Man, but let's try Rebecca in Claremont. She's on line 2, and I bet this is one that you hear a lot, too. Rebecca, hi. Go ahead. You're on with Wee Man.
Hi, Wee Man.
Hi, Rebecca.
I'm just totally curious because actually I find smaller people really, really sexy.
All right.
And so I just wondered, you know, how much of a problem did you ever really have dating and, you know, where could a girl meet a guy like you and...
Like, is there a small person bar where they all go?
That's
you
what
mean?
I was just going to say. I don't know. Like, me and my chick, we did. We met at a bar. And she totally didn't know who I was.
Right.
And
that's
it was
the
funny. Yeah. She came up. She was actually talking to my friend first, and she thought, well, this guy's a dork. And
right.
Started talking to me, and she's like, hey, this guy's actually pretty cool.
Did she say, would you like a lap dance?
No.
No. Okay.
Did not.
Just checking what kind of bar. Go ahead.
No. And then... people started coming over like, hey, Wee Man, buy you a drink. What are, you
and
know?
They knew who you were.
And she's like,
awesome.
What the hell is this? And I'm like, ah, it's nothing. Just, you know, guys, they get it. They like little dudes, you know. They're little dude fans.
Did you like the fact that she didn't know who you were?
Yeah. That's totally what sold me, you know, because there's people that come up, oh, my God, Wee Man, I love you. And it's like, okay, you love me because jackass.
Right.
You know,
Do you want me to put Rebecca on some kind of list, or are you fine with your girlfriend?
I'm totally cool with my girlfriend. I'll just tell her, if you see a little dude out on the town, grab his butt. You
there
know,
you
buy
go, grab his butt.
So there's no place that Rebecca can go, but just keep her eyes peeled and don't be afraid to approach a little person if she sees one that she likes.
That's and I bet you a little dude would totally be into her.
Yeah,
probably.
The reason you never had trouble with the women is because of your personality, obviously. I mean, you're such a super likable guy, I would imagine. I mean, before you got with this girl, I bet you just wrecked your way through the phone book. I mean, seriously, even before Jackass, I have a feeling that you were a goer.
It was more like, it wasn't that I had to try. It was more like, I think, like Rebecca, there was girls out there that, you know, wanted to...
That was their preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or a fascination. Even if it wasn't their preference, exactly. It's something they wanted to try one time.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time, but I want to run through some of these questions. Just give me a 10-second answer if you can.
Got it.
Were your parents normal size? Art wants to know.
Yes, both of them.
Do you have a hard time skateboarding?
No.
Do little people only date other little people? Obviously not.
Yep.
Is there discrimination in the workplace?
Not with me, bud.
Not at his job.
I think it really all comes down to your attitude. And there are a lot of people who are really angry at their lot in life.
Right.
And they're not likable. And they have problems.
And it sucks.
And you're our hero because you enjoy life and you laugh stuff off and everybody loves you.
That's how you got to do it.
That's the best.
Well, Celebrity Circus is tonight at 9:30 on the NBC. And I know Barack Obama is out there looking for a vice president.
I
got 2 words for y'all. And that's Wee and Man.
Yeah. May the
great
best
to see you again,
Wee
Jason. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you enjoying that heat out in the valley?
104.
Yeah, they have this great thing. I don't know if they got it in the valley. I don't know if they have it in the rest of the world or not. But this amazing thing called air conditioner?
The thing that makes the air cold.
Yes.
Yes.
One of those. And
never
you turn that on, and it cools your home.
And by the way, it's not going to be 104 really at Ralph's cool. house. It's going to be 104 at Kevin's house.
Where it belongs.
Exactly.
In the bad part of the valley.
Exactly.
Not in Studio not City in celebrating its 80th anniversary this year. God bless it.
Come on.
Happy, are you running happy, for mayor?
Happy
what
birthday,
are you doing?
Studio City.
What's wrong with you?
Well, shout out to
Ralph has drunk the Valley coffee, has he?
He really has.
Shout out to SC.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Man. 80s,
859, Caracu, FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showy's Beat, and then Adam from the Beastie Boys joins us after the top of the hour.
Showy's Beat.
Roger Ebert, not.
Bean has no jaw.
That's true. Yesterday was gay day, in a big way.
Oh!
And first in line to get his marriage license was George, Mr. Sulu Takei.
Gay what?
You're an abomination!
Oh, stop it. Who's that dude?
He was there with his longtime partner, Brad. 21 years they've been together. George is 71, by the way. Brad is a virile 54.
George looks great for 71, by the way.
Sure does.
Well, you know, black don't crack.
I knew you were going to say that. Doesn't really explain much, but all right.
Yellow don't mellow. According to People magazine, immediately after obtaining their marriage license, George said, "I started singing One Singular Sensation."
What is that?
I have no idea. That's a song from a chorus line, a Broadway musical. Other than gay people liking Broadway musicals, I can't see the connection between one. Unless they're melding into one via marriage, two become one.
Don't know.
In the eyes of the state.
I don't know that song, but there's no way it's good if it's called One Singular Sensation. That cannot
you
be a good
heard
song.
It. One singular sensation, every little step she takes. One.
Did he change it to he?
I have no idea.
No.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Not anymore, sir. Brad said, "I love you." And I looked at him and I said, "I love you," George said to People magazine.
You make money promoting sin.
Stop it.
And then he added,
Was his sister Lika really there?
Did. Lika was there, yes. And she said.
She added,
Of course, they will be married September the 14th at the Japanese American National Museum in Los Angeles. Best man will be Mr.
Chekhov.
Chekhov. And Lieutenant Uhura will be the matron of honor. It's going to be a very trekkie wedding.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it will be indeed.
Sounds like a new stage show.
A very trekkie wedding.
It does.
Sounds like the one of the specials that Star Trek did in the early 70s when the show went off the air. Oh, Britney Spears.
Now what?
Oh, Britney Spears. She may not have custody of her two baby boys, but apparently she did find some time to bond with a few other cute mammals recently. New York Daily News says she got to swim with the dolphins at the Las Vegas Mirage last weekend. She said they also said she's trying to sell the photos from her experience to the tabloids, trying to make a little extra cash.
Fat chicks need love too, but they gotta pay.
Britney Spears in the tank with the dolphins. The dolphin trainers afterwards complained that the dolphins thought the water was too fishy after she got into it.
Really?
Yeah.
The dolphins were complaining.
Dolphins like
they
fish.
Really do, for
so,
the most part.
For them to say it's
that must
too
have been
fishy,
extreme.
First of all, it's surprising
because they can talk.
Be talking right? To their trainers. But secondly, for them to dismiss it outright as overly fishy.
That does sound extreme.
That would have to be an impactful taste/odor combination. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think we understand.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba is really, really pretty.
Yes, she
according
is.
According to Mike Myers.
Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah. He gives us that update. He was interviewed by Fox News about The Love Guru, his new feature film co-starring Jessica Alba. And he said often when she would walk onto the set, the crew would gasp because she's so breathtakingly beautiful. That's something.
I believe that.
But for
a
professional movie crew that sees a lot of hot chicks in their day-to-day operations,
yeah,
they want to kind of stop and stare and just take notice when she walks in the room because that's how hot she is.
Yeah.
How do you think she landed Cash Warren?
Exactly.
Come on.
P.I. Cash Warren.
Now,
I carry a Gatsy, a gun, a heater.
I don't have to ask Kevin because, of course, he's going to see The Love Guru. But, Ralph, what's your read on it? Lisa, what do you think?
I'm scared.
I'm scared, too.
I'm scared of The Love Guru.
Yeah.
when you see the, I saw the trailer ahead of Iron Man this weekend, and the opening scene shows the little village that he lives in, and the big sign out front, the name of the Indian town that the Love Guru is from is Hair in My Keister. And I thought, right there, that determines whether you're the type of person who can enjoy this movie or not. If you
does
find Hair in My Keister,
does it get any sweeter than that?
If you find Hair in My Keister hilarious, then maybe it's the movie for you. Yeah, if not,
you know what,
maybe
though?
Not.
If you think back, I mean, I know I did. When I first saw the trailers for Austin Powers before the movie came out, I was like, that looks horrible. And it turns out, you know,
see,
it's
I didn't. I saw Austin Powers and said, I cannot wait to see that. Yeah. Because the spy James Bond movie genre is a genre I love in the first place. And then for a spoof on that, I was really looking forward to that. But I can't get a handle on what this is a spoof of. Is it a spoof on Indian guru, black hockey player, midget coach movies?
Love Doctors? Yeah, that's what's weird about it, is that it doesn't. It seems like a jumble, like of everything that he's interested in thrown into one movie. I don't know.
I'm afeard it's a mess.
I want to give Mike Myers the benefit of the doubt, because I think he is very funny and very talented, but I am very nervous.
I just might wait to hit that PPV button on my DVR when I get home.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Yeah.
A lot of other initials, too.
Hold off on that. DVD, PPV.
That's way
DVR.
I know I don't need to say this, but
DTV.
That's way above my line. Way
oh,
above.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I took you out of the mix.
Oh, yeah, you were, that was a fan.
You're in.
You.
We know that.
Yeah. You've seen that as like Ray Allen shooting threes last night. That's what a sure thing that is.
Why you got to hurt us like
that? What, he hit seven?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, funny you bring up basketball.
After getting his eye poked out.
One-eyed shooter shot seven threes.
If you are not Jordan in 96, Kevin hates you as a basketball player if you're on the Lakers. I hate every player. That he's just not good enough.
Everyone.
Okay, he's just not good enough. But if you're a movie and you have one minute little laugh, if you make Kevin even chuckle, that's pretty good. I'm okay with it.
If Vlade Divac was a movie,
Kevin
would go.
Are you high?
That's right.
I hated him.
And pay full price. Wouldn't even wait for the matinee. He'd pay full price.
I hated Vlade. He's a flopper. Back to you.
How about the basketball game?
How about that basketball game?
Yeah.
Pam Anderson? Paul McCartney, ex-Beatle, celebrates his birthday today. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, he's 66 years old today. Movie critic Roger Ebert is 66 years old today.
No jaw.
He's told the crushing news today that Mr. Ebert no longer has a jaw. You know what that comes from? It comes from a lot of juju bees at the theater.
Does it?
Yeah.
Too many?
That and milk duds.
Does it get any better? Does it get any sweeter than that?
It's a lot of hard candy he worked on over the years. Just saying, it takes its toll.
Your jaw.
On the jaw.
Right. So until next week, the balcony is closed.
You know what he says now?
I'd like to know.
And I think it's closed.
Ha! Bunch of douchebags.
Wonder when you guys are going to break out Ask a Jawless Dude.
Hey! I'm in.
There's some showbiz reports where I can just feel Lisa just seething with just disgust, and she just physically removes herself from the room while still being here,
putting
oddly
up
enough.
With
just
it until you're done.
She's just barely, just barely putting up with us.
I feel like we're talking to Sean Connery.
And Silk the Shocker celebrates his 33rd birthday.
Does it get
today.
Any better? Does it get any sweeter than that?
No, it doesn't. Happy birthday, No Limit Soldier. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's the time? It's time to get in. No sleep till you gotta fight for your right to
check, 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 check it out.
We, of course, like you do, love our Beastie Boys, one of the all-time greatest K-rock bands ever. Even when they're all grown up and turn into big-time movie makers, Adam Yauch has joined us from the Beastie Boys in the studio of the world-famous K-rock. Wow. The film is called Gunnin' for That Number One Spot, opening up everywhere on Friday. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I wish it was opening up everywhere. It's actually opening up in select cities on Friday.
Yeah,
Friday the 27th, the day after the draft, the NBA draft.
Los Angeles, the AMC Magic Johnson Crenshaw 15, in Orange, the AMC 30 at the Block, and Santa Monica AMC Broadway 4.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a lot of questions, a lot of things we want to know about the movie, but I have to start with, were you giving Kevin a hard time at the game the other night, or is that just the way he tells it when you guys found yourself sitting close to each other at Staples Center?
I don't know if I was giving him a hard time.
I was giving him a hard time more. I'm like, you're not a Celtic fan, are you?
And he just kind of shook his head a little bit. Yeah, sort of.
Were you out here because of promotion for the movie? Is that how you happened to be in town for the game?
Yeah, I came out so I figured I'd stop by and watch one of the games.
But you got to be, I mean, you're a Knicks fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the Knicks were doing a little well, I'm a fair weather Knicks fan, which is seldom these days.
When they deserve it, you will watch them?
Because I just always thought that New York sports fans hate Boston teams more than anything, even more than they hate L.A. teams.
It's the other way around. It's Boston teams hate New York. People who are Boston fans hate New York, but New York is sort of indifferent.
Oh, they don't care.
They're too big to care.
Yeah. I guess. They're too egotistical. Trapped in their own world.
What'd you think of the series? Besides whether you were rooting for the Celtics or the Lakers, do you think it was a good series? Do you think it was good basketball?
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing series. I couldn't believe seeing like the Lakers come back in game two was crazy. And then the Celtics come back in game three or something? Game four?
Game four, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an amazing series. I just wish it actually stayed that close for the last two games.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been good.
So your movie is basketball related. Were you is this like your sport? This is something you've been following and been into your whole life, Adam?
No, not really my whole life, but it's something, you know, I've been playing ball for a while and it's definitely something I enjoy.
I watched this movie. There was a screener that we had and I watched the movie and I loved it. And I have a lot of questions about it because it's a world that I don't really understand. Bean, we sent it up to Bean, and he didn't watch it quite as much because what happened, Bean? It was broken and taped together? What happened?
This is hilarious. Kevin got the screener and watched it. Then he brought it back in and said, hey, send it to Bean. So they put it in the mail, and I opened up the package to watch it, and the DVD had been snapped in two. And then, now I can understand that. Maybe it got broken in shipment. Somebody had taped it back together with Scotch tape.
As if that would work.
Like, as if somehow the person on the other end, meaning me, would receive the movie and go, well, this hasn't been tampered with. There's nothing wrong with this.
You know Kevin did it.
I did not do that. I believe him when he says it was fine when he handed it to the guy to mail it. But how hilarious is that somebody would break it and then try to fix it and think I wouldn't notice on the other end. So I didn't get a chance to see it, but it does sound like a kind of documentary I'd be really into.
Yeah, tell us about Rucker Park, which I knew nothing about.
Yeah, I mean, Rucker is...
Is this new? This phenomena with this park?
No. I mean, Rucker Park is a kind of historical place in New York for street ball and for like basketball in general. Like, people come up there and play. Kobe's come up there and played.
Big-time basketball
players.
Yeah, a lot
of NBA players. I mean, it's kind of like the mecca of basketball.
Of outdoor park basketball.
Yeah.
Why do professionals
go there? Kareem came out of there. Dr. J. There's a lot of players that came out of...
How do you think that happened? How did it begin to get that reputation? Because there's no other park in the country that I know of that all these NBA players go play at.
Yeah, I guess Holcomb Rucker started some programs there for kids to try and help inner-city kids, you know, get a better education. And it just sort of like this momentum built, and it became a, you know... a critical part of New York history.
And now, this is from, what year was this Elite 24 that you've...
This Elite 24, this All-Star, high school All-Star game was filmed in September 06, September 1st.
September 06. Because Kevin Love was there.
Yeah,
he's Kevin the dude Love. That came to UCLA.
Yeah, Kevin was still in high school. He was about to start his senior year of high school. And
he looked like a deer in the headlights, that dude, in your movie. He's like, I guess in Los Angeles there's a lot of girls. I mean, he's
getting ready to leave Oregon.
what is it about this park and this scene that made you want to make a movie about it? It's one thing to be interested in. It's another thing to put in the time and commitment that it takes to make a film.
I just thought it would be interesting. I thought it'd be interesting to look at the world of high school basketball, of elite high school basketball, and see, you know, what it's these kids' lives are like as they're sort of being groomed and getting ready to be in the NBA. You know,
here's a statistic that was in the movie talking about the percentage of high school basketball players that go on.
97 out of 100 kids that play high school basketball do not play NCAA basketball Division 1, 2, or 3.
So 97 out of 100 don't even make it to Division 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say that out of those Division I players, how many of them do you think are going to get a chance to make it to the league?
Which is ridiculously small. Yeah. I mean, I believed I played high school basketball. I believed that if I had really applied myself, I would have made it. Not true at all. I mean, it's really the odds are so far against you.
I mean, it's pretty wild also because when these kids are making themselves eligible for the draft, there's also there are four kids who have made themselves eligible for the draft that are in this film, in this draft that's coming up now. And there will also be people eligible for the draft who are from other grades, who are, you know, guys who are finishing college or just finished their junior year of college. And there's also guys coming in from Europe, and the competition is intense.
Of course. Which is weird when then you see a Kevin Garnett or a Kobe Bryant or a Paul Pierce, guys that can actually take over in that league.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Rare.
Did you, again, I apologize because of the snafu. I didn't get to see the movie. Adam, ahead of interviewing you. But one of the things that I'm so fascinated with, and you see this in both of your worlds, in the sports world that you document in the film and also in the music world, is young people, high school kids, who are, it's not only that they want to make it in those fields, they're convinced that they will, and some of them don't even have a plan B. I'm sure that there were ball players that you saw that day that you filmed who that's all they were planning on, is playing professional basketball for a long time. They didn't have a backup plan.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I guess it's kind of a catch-22 because if they don't really commit to it 150%, then
they'll never make it.
Yeah, so in a way, they kind of have to. But I mean, most of these guys, they're pretty smart guys, and I think they would figure something out. But they're certainly banking on this working. And it very well may. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like planning on winning the lottery, though, as a job. I mean, that's what the odds are like.
I mean, these guys are, the guys that we profiled are some of the top players. And I wouldn't be surprised if all eight of the guys that we profile in this movie actually make it into the NBA.
You profiled eight of the 24 that were there that day.
Yeah, and four of them have made themselves eligible. And out of those four, three of them will probably be lottery picks, and all of them will probably get picked up and be in the NBA. I mean, Kevin Love, Michael Beasley, people are saying, will probably be the one or two draft pick, and Jared Bayless.
We are talking to director Adam Yauch, also MCA from the Beastie Boys. The film is called Gunnin' for That Number One Spot, opening at the AMC Magic Johnson Theater on Crenshaw in L.A., also the AMC 30 at the Block of Orange, and in Santa Monica, the AMC Broadway 4. That opens on Friday, by the way. It's gunninmovie.com, or you can see the trailer and get more information at beastieboys.com. We'll take a quick break and come back. More with Adam after this on Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock this morning with his director hat on today. The film is called Gunnin' for That Number One Spot, and apparently some of us may have suggested it opens in three theaters in Southern California on Friday, but others of us didn't speak up to say, no, Bean, you've got the date wrong either, while we're at it, by the way, Adam.
Well, first we said it opened everywhere.
A week from Friday.
And that's not
true. A week from Friday.
Then we said it opened Friday. It's a week from Friday.
Yeah, June 27th, the day after the NBA draft.
Okay.
It'll open.
All right.
Okay.
Don't let us get away with that bad information, dude.
I was actually calculating in my own head. I was like,
am I confused?
We are not good.
In California, if you say Friday, does it mean next Friday?
Adam, let me ask you this, because we also talked last year, I guess it was, when your concert movie came out, the awesome I Effin' Shot That, which was a cool idea for folks who didn't know. You handed out video cameras to people all over the Beastie Boys show, and then they shot a movie, and you edited it all together, and it was very, very cool. You got that one, now you're back with the basketball movie. Is this something you hope to plan to do more with in the future? Is this something that's really got the bug?
It's definitely something I enjoy doing. I've been working on music videos for a long time, too, and working in film is definitely something I enjoy.
You, I don't know how to say this, but it looks like a movie that the Beastie Boys or you would make. It looks, the way it's edited, music, sound effects, all of the stuff mixed together, it really is a unique vision.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's probably some of my taste in there in terms of, like, the way it's shot or cut.
Did you shoot some of it? Did you edit?
I shot some of it. I mean, I work closely with an editor. I didn't cut on this. Sometimes I do cut my own videos, but these days I kind of prefer working with an editor and working with cameramen and stuff, but some of it I shot myself.
So you didn't do much of anything then, that's what you're saying.
You put your name on it and you get all the credit, basically, is what's going on here. What's new in Beastieville, since we don't get to talk to you as often as we like? What are you guys up to?
We're recording. We're in the middle of making a record.
Do you call it Beastieville?
Probably
not.
We usually avoid that particular moniker, but...
Do you have a date when that might come out?
Like, what are you shooting for? What's the plan?
I don't know. I mean, if the record company put the thumb screws on us, we could get it done pretty quick. But I think we'd like to take a little more time and really perfect it a little more. Spend a few more months on it. So
maybe next summer.
This fall?
This spring?
I think maybe early next year or something like that.
All right.
Unless somebody forces us to turn it in sooner.
Can they do that? Can they like come to your house with a gun and say, now, bitch? I mean, how does that work?
Pretty sure they don't come to the house with a gun, but you tell us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, I don't know exactly what the legal line is on that.
All right, but you're working on it, and that's good news. So there will be more Beasties music.
Yeah.
Well, this is a fascinating movie. It's called Gunnin' for That Number One Spot. It seems like an impossible dream for these high school players to actually make it into the pros, but these are the top 24 that come to a park, Rucker Park, and it talks about how they're rated, and a lot of the people who do the ratings don't really know what they're talking about, and it's a bizarre world that you've captured.
It's definitely an interesting world. I learned a lot about it from making the doc. It's definitely...
It sounded like some of the people who do the ratings were just cut and pasting other people that do the ratings.
Yeah, some of them. I think there are some people that take it a little more seriously, but I think there are a lot of people that just kind of like start up their own rating service, and it has its pros and cons. I think at times it's a little strange, like rating the kids, but also, I mean, they've decided to be in this incredibly competitive world. That's what mm-hmm. they're pursuing,
right?
So in a way, you know, they're gonna get rated. So
when you hear
taste of what's to come,
yeah, in a way. Yeah.
So when you hear the number one high school player in the country, that's where you get it from. For the most part, is these guys
rating services? Yeah, and there's so many rating services, but people might be talking about, you know, if you like when they say whatever Michael Beasley is rated top. You know.
It's got to be so tough though to have the eye for talent to see someone who's unformed and untested, who's 16 or 17 years old, and be able to predict what that person is going to be like with the right coaching and training. I mean, you really have, I mean, it's almost a crapshoot. It's almost a guess. I mean, you can certainly see raw talent, but what the player is going to turn out being after he's trained and learns discipline and everything like that, you have no idea what he's going to end up like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that often, you know, people who are rated very high end up not doing incredibly well in the league and vice
or
versa.
Not doing at all in the league sometimes. Who was the dude that was the play-by-play guy there at the park, at Rutgers Park? Because that guy needs to do it on the TV.
Yeah, Bobito Garcia is...
he's funny.
He's great, yeah. I mean, he grew up close to Rucker Park, and he's definitely a part of that world. He's kind of a street ball legend in New York. And actually, I think he has his own show on...
does he?
On, like, MSN or something like that.
You don't see guys like... He's mocking their ugly tennis shoes. And, I mean, he's really just a funny guy. He's not afraid to make fun of them, whatever.
He's very New York. Like, yeah. Bobito is definitely like... And it's great hearing the game commentated in that way, because you get so accustomed to hearing a much stiffer kind of NBA style of commentating, and to hear him just like, you know, just talking trash uptown style.
Well, it's fantastic. It's Gunnin' for That Number One Spot. Adam Yauch is the director and the producer and the writer.
Yeah. Well, not writer.
He's done it all.
It's a doc.
It opens a week from tomorrow, the 27th.
Friday. A week from Friday.
A week from Friday, the 27th. Sorry. In Los Angeles at the AMC Magic Johnson Crenshaw 15. I'm not doing that on purpose, dude.
You're probably doing it better than I would.
In the Orange at the AMC 30 at the Block, and Santa Monica at the AMC Broadway 4. And I would strongly suggest you go out and watch it. It's fantastic.
And I think maybe go to gunandmovie.com or beastieboys.com and check those times and dates. Don't listen to us. You might want to actually like back up on that. All right, Adam. Great to see you again. Hope we do it again soon. Congratulations on the movie, my friend.
Cool.
Thank you
Thanks
in.
A lot. Thanks for having me
Thank
on.
You.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew and win a prize. Today, how about a brand new Aleaf Jawbone Bluetooth headset? Say that 3 times fast. And a copy of The Bourne Conspiracy for Xbox 360. That's what you get for joining us on K-Rock this morning.
Don't buy one of those for Roger Ebert.
No!
Shouldn't he have one more than anyone?
No, it's useless to him.
Fall off.
All right, let's say good morning to Andrew in Rancho Santa Margarita. He's got a story that we wanted to cover but didn't have time. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I was calling about the kids from Tesoro High School hacking into the computers. Where was Omar at?
Yeah, he hacked into the computer. He was caught for fraud like for 15 different things, and his name is exactly the same as Omar. Our Omar.
Yep.
Then he was like all naked, and he was loaded, and he was screaming, look at me, I hack into everything, I can do whatever I want. Cops were calling, they were trying to pull him out, but he kicked one guy right in the nuts. And then...
Yeah, I don't think that
He's not happened, here to interrupt me.
No, he's not.
Hey, guys, we I was back here in the studio.
We did enjoy very much that the kid's name was Omar Khan, though. It was very funny to us, so thanks for the call.
All right, let's go to Tasha in Corona. Good morning, Tasha.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
About 15 years ago, well, actually, exactly 15 years ago, I called up and I said, "Today I'm getting married, Kevin and Bean. Do you have any advice?" And you said, "Don't do it."
And now you're calling to tell us that we were right.
This is our 15-year wedding anniversary today.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. And yet Kevin and Bean still say that to this day.
I'd like to talk to him.
I bet they do.
Just because you're married for 15 years doesn't mean it was 15 good years.
Oh.
I'd like to talk to him and get a rating on that.
Yeah, for him probably feels like 15 minutes underwater.
Tasha, it doesn't bother you that he's been cheating on you since year 6?
No.
It doesn't bother you? You're a good wife.
No, he isn't cheating on me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you need,
he's
Tasha.
Been cheating on you. He's been cheating on you with Mike.
It's all been good. Yeah, it's
married.
Been perfect.
All right, Tasha.
He's happy.
Congratulations.
He's 15 happy years to a long you. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. We had D.L. Hughley in our studios yesterday. He and his wife have been together for 23 years. They've been married for 23 years. And I was thinking, in Hollywood, that's like 100 years. I mean, no one is married 23 years in Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's pretty
amazing.
Shocking to me.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Chris in Northridge. Good morning, Chris.
What a do, nephew. What a do, Nancy Drew.
Hi, Chris.
What's going on?
So my wife is a teacher, and the graduating class, her fifth grade graduating class this year, during culmination, they're going to be singing some songs. They're singing one song written by Michael Jackson and one song written by R. Kelly.
Oh, I hope it's the Hair Braids. Hope it's the Hair Braids song.
I hope it's Trapped in the Closet.
I'm guessing it's I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah, Trapped in the Closet. It's a 7-hour culmination ceremony.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
What are kids in fifth grade graduating to and culminating from?
Fifth grade to sixth grade?
Fifth grade to sixth grade. Yeah, elementary to junior high or middle school.
Which Michael Jackson song do you know?
The We Are the World, which he wrote.
Sure.
And then the R. Kelly song is some Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Yeah. Wondrous World. Don't
know that song.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Well, that is ironic.
That's a bad choice.
A little bit. I mean, there are a lot of people who can separate the two, the artist's personal life from their music, but it does seem a little odd these days to be having fifth graders sing.
Someone should separate R. Kelly from the kids. That's what they should be separating.
That's a good point.
All right, let's go to Oscar in Northridge. Good morning, Oscar.
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean?
What it do?
What it do?
Lisa Booby Boo. I have bad news for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
We have 11 more weeks of baseball. Because baseball blows.
Yeah, that's the
meaning it's the best sport in the world, right?
That's the problem with this time of year is hockey just ended, NBA just ended. So now we really just have baseball. And for those of us that like baseball, that's a rough time of year.
I kid you not, I was looking this morning to see when the preseason game started for the NFL. I think August 8th, I think, is the first one. So that's what I'm shooting for. That's what I'm shooting for now.
I'm sorry, what?
Colts and Redskins.
Colts and Redskins.
Oh my God, you guys.
It's sad that you know that, but okay. Yeah, it's a rough time of year right now.
Maybe this is the year that you
stop
give
it.
In and enjoy baseball.
Is it Kevin? Still baseball? I'm not. I don't enjoy baseball because I want to not enjoy baseball. I just don't enjoy baseball. I don't have a
all
choice.
Right, I've got the answer for you. Let's go to Rich on line one. He's calling from Whittier. I'll grant you that maybe your favorite sports are gone, but there is something to pick up the slack, and that's what Rich is calling about. Good morning. What'd it do?
What's going on, Rich?
Hey, I was going to see for a consolation prize if any of the personalities, whether it be Kevin, Bean, even though you guys are away, Ralph or Lisa May, I have two tickets for the box suite to the LA Sparks tonight.
Ooh, tonight?
The box suite.
Yeah.
The box suite.
Could you mean vagina?
Is the most popular room in the building.
No, we prefer basketball.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Not basketball.
Sorry about that.
Thanks, though, Rich.
That's not really
it.
Yeah, thanks.
Sparks game.
Sparks.
Yeah. How desperate would you have to be to go to a Sparks game?
It wouldn't happen.
Television would have to go out of business.
That's not that much desperate.
Every movie theater would have had to burn to the ground. Every bar would have to have been nailed shut before I would go to a Sparks game.
And you'd have to have some sort of a rash that would prevent you from touching yourself for 4 hours.
Do we have time for Doug and Irvine? I would like to hear that story because that sounds like my kind of guy.
Doug? Sure. We can squeeze in one more. Why not?
Doug, what's going on?
Hey, what a do, nephew.
What a do.
What a do, baby.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know I was a church and we're talking about some chick from Glendale. And then because of Psycho Mike, naturally, I said, Glendale?
Glendale!
And then everyone got pissed off.
Never get
and
it.
They're like, Doug, we got to go.
Everybody got mad at you for yelling Glendale in church.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I got to thank Psycho Mike for that one.
Yeah, Mike. Nice work.
That happens to us from time to time where we're used to our sense of humor and we shout something or boo or something. And then you go, wow, these people don't care.
You're at a family event.
That's
someone's
ugly.
Taking a picture and it doesn't work. And you go, bah!
Yeah.
Remember, it wasn't a Pentecostal church because they yell all kinds of garbage all the time at those
That's
churches.
True.
One of those
Baptist
churches.
You picked the wrong church.
Just speaking in tongues. You can just work that in. No one knows the difference. Well, you're holding a snake or something.
Thank you for the call, Doug.
What a fake. Our special guests on this morning's Kevin DeBean Show, including Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of this program, now with AM 570, although there's really no reason to listen to him now that the Lakers are off the air. The season's over. Also, thanks to our friend Wee Man for stopping by today. Wee Man was a lot of fun, as always. He is one of the stars, quote-unquote, on Celebrity Circus, airing tonight at 9:30 on NBC. And thanks to movie director Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys for stopping by. Gun him for that number one spot. Opens in select theaters on Friday. That's 1 week from this Friday, June 27th.
First time we got that right. All right. Yep. Yes. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Tara Patrick on the program tomorrow.
Tissue.
Do we need anything else?
No.
Sal Masekela, X Games?
Okay.
No?
I need a Sal Masekela.
Places you've been thrown out of. That's our group. Omar's Amazing Race. We're going to talk about tomorrow. He's got the worst vacation plan ever.
I hope he wins. I really hope he wins. He could use the money.
And we have a movie to introduce you to called Heavy Metal Baghdad. You heard me. You heard me. We have a movie to introduce you to.
Good times.
And Jack Dodson, back to you.
How about, speaking of the Beastie Boys, we play some of them coming up next as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including The Offspring, that song from Katy Perry you love so much, Incubus, Finger 11, and more after this on K-Rock.